protesters greeted him outside one town hall event. Then, at a college campus, some in the audience attacked him for his views on same-sex marriage.
So anybody can marry anybody. So anybody can marry several people. Wait a minute. Whoa, stop. No,
that led to some boos as Santorum walked off the stage. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Republican candidate John Huntsman has picked up a big endorsement in the New Hampshire primary from the Boston Globe. Here's Globe editor Peter Canello.
The choice really came down to Romney and Huntsman. Basically, they had the most presidential demeanor.
The Labor Department comes out this morning with the latest jobs report, and economists are raising their sights a bit. Recent indicators suggest the labor market's picking up. Colombia says it's preparing to return a Dallas teenager who was deported mistakenly more than a year ago. The country's foreign ministry says the girl will be turned over to diplomatic officials today. Janisa Turner, the girl's mother, says it's a mystery how all this happened in the first place.
There has to be adults involved. No 14-year-old can change their name and get to Colombia on their own.
A Vietnamese man has undergone surgery to remove a nearly 200-pound tumor from his right leg. Doctors say the risky surgery was successful. There's a new record on the charts. For the first time in history, digital music sales have outpaced physical sales. A new Nielsen and Billboard report shows digital music sales accounted for just over half of all music sales in 2011. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
The Tennessee town of Alcoa, so named because of the Alcoa factory built there early last century, is now going to lose that factory. Alcoa is cutting its overall capacity by 12% as aluminum demand weakens. Part of that move is to permanently close the Alcoa smelting facility in Alcoa. No word on whether the town is going to be renamed. More U.S.-based airlines are deciding to take new fees the European Union has slapped on them and slap at least part of them onto you. United Continental and U.S. Airways have followed the lead of Delta, adding a now tame $3 surcharge onto one-way flights to Europe. This after the European Union decided to make carriers pay to help offset their carbon emissions. Wall Street fought from big losses to a near draw in trading yesterday following an encouraging trio of employment reports. This morning, the big one, the Labor Department's December employment reading, creation of 150,000 jobs predicted. S&P futures are flat. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Lower costs. For business owners and managers, those two words represent a big help. Want to hear two words that can get you there? Sam's Club, where you'll always find terrific values for your business. See for yourself with a free cost comparison the morning of January 10th or 11th. No gimmicks, just bring your recent business invoices from another supplier. It's that easy, and the results will leave you saying three words. Sign me up. See Club for details. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work. All the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Make saving more at Rite Aid your best resolution yet. Now through January 28th, you can earn a $20 plus up reward when you spend $100 or more on select products with your Wellness Plus card. Just look for the buy and save symbol on participating products throughout the store and circular. Start the year off with better savings at Rite Aid. Resolution Rewards is another way Wellness Plus saves you more. In-store purchase with Wellness Plus card only. Plus up will be printed on receipt in most markets for use on your next purchase when qualifying threshold is met. Plus up expires February 11th.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us. And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now. First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning, everybody. Just about 7 minutes after 6 o'clock on this sixth day of January in the year 2012. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. A lot of open line time today. Let me just kind of run through what we got going on. We'll get this thing going because we have a lot to get to today, including our predictions. Because tomorrow, the Detroit Lions take on the New Orleans Saints in the first playoff game since 1999 for our Detroit Lions team. Looking forward to that a great deal. Taking a look ahead, we're going to be open lines basically for the next 2 hours with the exception of Occupy Detroit, which will join us at 7:50 as they do every single day. And I'm actually very excited because our guest at 7:50 today will be the great Reverend Charles Williams II of the historic King Solomon Baptist Church in Detroit. And I'm very much looking forward to having him on the show. I've never interviewed him before. I have a lot of respect for him, and so we'll look forward to that. At 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano will be in studio with us. So we start the year with Joe in studio from Main Street Strategies, and it's always great to have them, but even better to have them, of course, in live and in person. And we've cleaned the studio; everything is good to go. Let's just go ahead and get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Demystify. Demystify is our first word. Ooh, demystify. The really part of the challenge and I think responsibility that we have on a daily basis is to demystify the process, to talk about things and issues, the topics that not only are front and center on the political and otherwise landscape, but really to take away all of the layers of BS that seem to ensnare every single story that we have to deal with. You know, part of the challenge of what we do on a daily basis is to get to the truth. We are presented with stories. And although they may seem quite obvious what they are and where they originate from, there's always more to the story than meets the eye, and that's really where our obligation is. And so in the process of doing that, we like to, I think we do a very good job of doing that. We demystify what is going on, give it to you as straight as we possibly can. Sometimes that can be a bit painful because the truth often is, especially in the realm in which we live in on this show, the political realm. But our first word today is to demystify and to further entrench ourselves in that. Let me demystify the process of how we begin this show and how we put the show together by telling you that a lot of it is at the hand of our producer, Jeff Radford. Good morning to you, Jeffrey.
Well, good morning, Tony. How are you doing?
It's Friday, kind of a weird week, as you know, of course, as the audience knows. I was off yesterday, and so it's kind of an interrupted week, which is kind of weird. So it's Friday, and we've got our normal Friday meeting after the show, our first one of the year, and then I've got some errands to run, and, you know, I realize, you know, Friday's my nap day. So here's my challenge, Jeff. We now, unlike, you know, the last time we were, you know, before the end of the year, before we went out on break, I didn't have a dog that I had to tend to. So the question is, do I stick to my nap schedule on Fridays because it requires the dog to stay in the cage even longer?
Is that really coming up to play right now?
It is, because I feel guilty that he's going to, you know, that he's going to be in that cage too long.
You guys haven't started taking naps together yet?
No, he will not be napping in my bed.
That's don't act like that's weird. A lot of people do sleep with their dogs.
Yeah, no. I get that. I absolutely get that. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to start napping with them. I'm just not going to do that. So I, you know, that's my challenge. So when I get home, and I guess I let him out for a while, maybe I should stay up a little later than I normally do. But you know, the nap is important. It may not sound important to the people listening to us, but listen, when you get up at 2:30 in the morning, the nap's important. You know, just and I, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, and maybe next week will be a little better. I'm trying to, you know, take it a little easier as we get into 2012. Not demand so much of myself physically. You know, hopefully gives me a little more longevity. Keeps me sharper on task.
Yeah, well, speaking of napping and sleeping, I got a story for you. Apparently, you didn't know this, but me and Diane, who does the traffic and weather here, kind of have a little pact about helping each other out. If I show up and I don't see her here yet, that means maybe she missed her alarm, so I'm supposed to call her. Well, apparently, I didn't tell her that we weren't going to be here yesterday.
Aha!
Two phone calls, one at like 4:30 around maybe 4:50. And I just shut my phone off half asleep, didn't even realize it. The next one at 5:20, I did answer, and it was like half asleep. I didn't even remember what I said, and I went back and listened to the message later on, and she was, I don't mean this in a bad way, but kind of freaking out, like, where are you guys? What's going on? We didn't let her in that we were not going to be here yesterday.
No, we did not.
And, you know, that serves me right, apparently. I got two phone calls very early in the morning when I'm trying to get my sleep. You know, if it's a day off, I want to, you know, sleep past 6 o'clock at least.
Well, it's good to know the system works, right?
That's true. It was tested out, and now I know. If we don't show up, people will miss us.
Okay, if it's only Diane Cross.
Well, in the building. I mean, at that point, nobody else knew, right?
Right.
So, at least, you know, we are missed. Okay. On our days off, even though it came at the expense of my sleeping. So,
did you get up at that point, or did you fall back to sleep?
No, luckily, yeah. Somehow, well, I was half asleep. Like I said, I don't even remember what I said. I remember being courteous because I think she was kind of, you know, when you wake somebody up and you can tell they've been sleeping or they are sleeping, you kind of feel bad.
Sure.
So I was like, no, don't worry. I think I remember saying something like, hey, you know, like you said, at least the system works. But
yes.
I almost did it the other day because she actually had borrowed someone else's car, and I saw. I came in. I'm like expecting to see her truck, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm gonna have to make that call."
Well, of course, even when you know you have to do that, it's hard to call somebody that early in the morning because you know you're waking someone up. You have only had one instance where I had to wake you up. That's only happened once in the 7 or 8 months that you and I have been doing the show.
It was early on, too.
Yeah, it was early on. And I called you and said, it was like about 4:30 and said, hey, you coming in this morning? And you went, what time is it? I mean, you sounded perfectly awake. I said,
which I wasn't.
Which you obviously weren't.
I don't know how I pulled that off because I remember that. It was actually it was closer to 5. Because we have to do, you know, go on at 6. And back then, I just had to set the board up, and neither studio was set up. So I had to rush in to make sure that those were fixed.
Right, but it all worked out. But again, it's good to know that the system works, and now we've demystified that. So that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Well, it's you know, and Diane's a first-class person to begin with, and so it doesn't surprise me that she was on top of her game yesterday.
That's true. Always always available for if you need a Honeycrisp apple at any time.
Absolutely. Yeah, she does love her Honeycrisp apples.
If you need to borrow anything, well, not borrow, I guess, but if you ever want oatmeal, she's got that at the ready.
Yeah, she does, in fact, now that you mention that. And she's a water aficionado, as am I. She has this huge jug of water that she has with her at all times. You know, so that's a good thing. So anyway, well, I'm glad that the system worked. I'm sorry that you were interrupted, but I'm happy to hear that you were able to go back to sleep.
So. Well, for a little while. Then yesterday I had a big day planned, so I had to get up pretty early anyway.
So although you wore a hat today, I think you got a haircut yesterday, did you not?
No, I didn't get a hair. I cut my own hair. I don't have to make an haircut appointment, especially not early in the morning.
All right.
I had to take my truck in though. So you have
what
to,
now?
Well, an oil change and get a couple things.
Oh, you know, okay.
Just checked on, long story, but I had to take it in early. And if you this place works like if I didn't set up an appointment, but if you get there early enough and drop it off early in the morning, they'll get to it before they get to anything else. So,
well, good.
They did, and I'm back on the road feeling good.
What are the odds that you're gonna seek a new vehicle in the new year?
Well, I'm getting through winter first. And I know it's not been that bad of a winter, but this truck is like a tank in the winter. I love it in the winter. In the spring, I might be looking for something else, but it'll be hard to part with it. This thing's been through heck and back with me, you know?
Well, you know, interesting, before we get to the break, speaking of winter, it's supposed to get up to 50 today. 50.
Did we miss the snow season? I think we're gonna get slammed in February.
Yeah. Don't say that. See, I'm gonna jinx this thing. Cause no, we're gonna get it. There's no question. The snow's coming. It's just much delayed. But yeah, today's high is gonna be 50 degrees. Which actually, when you get to this time of year, the people get sick when the weather does this. Gets sicker then. And Anthony's been sick, and fortunately, he's getting better.
Yeah. Guess who else is feeling sick?
You.
Started this morning.
Well, so far, Knockwood, so good for me. When we come back, big game tomorrow. We will get predictions. Plus, we have a boatload of stuff to get to. Fortunately, we have a lot of open line time today as well. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. The big problem out there on the freeways right now, 96 to Jeffries westbound. You are unable to get to it from I-75. So that means you'll have to go up to the Lodge, then up to I-94, then head west back to I-96. Yeah, it's a bit of a detour, so you'll want to plan some extra time this morning if that's your normal route. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, unseasonably mild, partly sunny, a high near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around the freezing mark. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Right now, it's fair and 40 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More on First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs. Are
crabs,
you sand or snow? Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
All right, let's welcome Brian to First Shift.
I wanted to call in and talk about the comment somebody criticizing the station for being a tiny station.
Yeah, the Detroit Free Press today ran an article that they referred to it as a tiny radio station.
It proves that ignorance is indeed profound. Because of the internet and because of the smartphones, I'm listening to you from Fall River, Massachusetts, the home of freedom and independence and a progressive mind.
First Shift with Tony Triano. On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Triano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Triano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Triano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Triano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And it is time to punch back in. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Thank you for being with us this early January 6th morning, but a lot of good stuff to get to today. And, of course, tomorrow is an exciting day for Detroit Lions fans. Why? Well, obviously, we made the playoffs as a wild card, the sixth seed, and we will be playing the New Orleans Saints. And if you look at the game on paper and you ignore other factors, you might say to yourself, Jeff and Anthony, there's no way the Detroit Lions can win this thing. Of course, we played the New Orleans Saints about a month ago, and we're handily defeated, but we actually have a different Detroit Lions team that we're putting on the field tomorrow night. Will it make a difference? Gentlemen, we now turn our attention to tomorrow night. Very, very exciting. Will the Detroit Lions be able to extend their season yet another week? Anthony, I ask you with great confidence, what say you, sir?
Oh, man, I don't know. I want to pick them, but I don't think I can. I really don't. It's going to be a rough night. I'm going to go 34-28 Saints.
Okay, all right. Jeffrey Radford, we now turn our attention to you.
He's being too nice. It's going to be 40s again for the Saints. And I guess the Lions will keep it close. Let's go 42-31.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I've got to tell you, after especially reading an article this morning about Louis Delmas coming back, and Ndamukong Suh will also be on the field. I think that will make a difference tomorrow night. And I think that Matt Stafford is up for this game, up in ways that we can't quite measure. You know what? There is that that one game every year where a team comes from nowhere and does the improbable, and I think the Detroit Lions are just that team. I'm going to pick them to win in a much closer contest and not nearly as high scoring as people are going to believe. Detroit 28, the Saints 21. That's right. That's right. That's what I'm picking for tomorrow night.
None of us like field goals, apparently. I only picked one in my prediction. And Anthony only picked one. It sounds like you didn't pick any.
Nope. I feel good. I really feel like, there's just, again, I understand the reality that, New Orleans hasn't lost at home this year. I understand Drew Brees is an amazing quarterback. They've got an amazing offense. I understand all that. I understand all that, but there's just this one feels different for me, and I think that because of what they've done with the defense, you know, they've got their defense healthy for tomorrow. I think it makes a difference. I think it makes a profound difference. And, you know, again, it's totally my homie optimism. It's based on nothing but my homie optimism. And so I'm going to go with it. And I'm going to feel good about my decision because I really do believe they can do this. And I, you know, again, I'm counting on the defense, frankly, because of the score I predicted on both sides. To probably step up more than we normally would. Both the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints do not have great defenses. They just don't.
I think me and Anthony might be a little more confident if we didn't watch what happened in Green Bay last week.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I hear you. I don't know. I'm feeling good. Again, there's that one game, and I think this is that one game that comes out where, you know, the Detroit... Detroit will be the victor. So that's where we're at. Let's go to Wes in Detroit, who joins us now and wants to ring in on the Lions' victory. If there's anybody out there that wants to let us know what they think their prediction is for the Lions tomorrow night, feel free to call us, 888-552-3595. Wes, welcome to First Shift. What say you, my friend?
Good morning, Tony. And it's the first time I talk to you this year. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, I was wondering if I can come down and join the party because you got to be having a good party down there. The drinks must be flowing very well because I understand that you up because I'm a Lions fan. I love it. And if it wasn't for that performance last week with against Green Bay, I would say we have a chance. And Drew Brees is a whole lot better. A quarterback than Flynn, and you know, so this could have been a one-game phenomenon for Flynn, but I've seen Drew Brees do it every time. And as far as the New Orleans defense, don't underestimate that defense. They score a lot of points, and they shut a lot of teams down. And I love my team. I love the Lions defense. They're doing a marvelous job. But against the Saints, they seem like they a machine. In the last five games, they're a machine. And it's going to be hard to beat them. If that secondary wouldn't show me what they showed me last week against Green Bay, I'd say, oh, okay, we got a chance. But six touchdowns and from a second string team. So, Tony, I'm optimistic as you. I'm optimistic as you are. Believe me, I'm going to be rooting for the Lions from the beginning gun. But, I'm scared of this Drew Brees. I've seen him throw some passes like he was throwing it through a needle hole.
Well, obviously you're siding with Jeff and Anthony on this one, and I understand that. You know, maybe I'm the. You know, maybe I'm doing a little of this just to play it different, but you know, at the same time, you know, like I said, Wes, I'm a homie. I gotta root, you know, not just root for the home team. I gotta believe, and I think that our defense is gonna step up. I really feel like they're gonna step up tomorrow, and you know,
well, I hope they have a game for their lifetime, Tony. Believe me, I've been rooting for the Lions. I'm going to now to see them. Barry Sanders on Sunday, man, and every year, my friends, so I always tell them we're going to the Super Bowl, and they laugh at me. But hey, because I love my Lions, man. I'm bleed. Ain't nobody. I'm no fair weather fan. I love the Lions. When the Pistons were down, I love the Pistons. I'm a local guy, sports guy. I root for my Red Wings. I root for all the local sports, the Tigers. So I'm a local guy, believe me. But I'm also a realist too. I see what this Drew Brees can do to you, and get some good defenses too. And the defense shut people down.
Yeah, absolutely. No, listen. There's no question, Wes. Thank you for your call. There's no question that Drew Brees has got a lot of talent. Well. Anthony and Jeff, we'll, of course, we'll know tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock on NBC is when it all begins. We'll know by the end of the night, of course, what's going to happen. Will they move on to the next round? And they would have Green Bay in the next round, right, if they win?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, obviously Wes is siding with you guys, and so be it. I'm gonna keep my optimism though, and I really do believe that I don't know why I feel it. I just do. And as I actually, when I went to bed last night, I thought, man, you know, we got to do this tomorrow. I don't know who the hell I'm gonna pick. I was kind of conflicted, and then I woke up this morning and read that article about Louis Delmas, and I'm telling you, it just made me. I don't know. It just filled me with optimism. So be it. All right, we come back. We got a lot of audio to get to. We got a lot of open line time today. Feel free to ring us up. Again, if you want to predict the Lions score tomorrow or who you think's going to win the game tomorrow night. It's a big deal, guys. First time since 1999 the Detroit Lions find themselves in the playoffs. We'd sure like to extend it beyond 1 week, wouldn't we? Of course we would. Will we? Well, we don't get to play the game. That's probably a good thing. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's take a quick break here. We will continue on 1310 WDTW right after we do this.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Some good news. Everything has reopened at the northbound 75 I-96 westbound interchange. So no worries about that now. Everything is looking pretty good on the freeways for the moment. I'm Russ with traffic.
Drive through McDonald's and try the new dollar menu featuring meaty, melty McDouble with 100% beef and cheese or the golden McChicken. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high near 50. That's with a 5. Believe it or not. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Quick look at Sunday, partly sunny, a high near 37. Right now, it's fair and 40 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Congress. How small-minded is it? How tangled up in a right-wing ideological knot is it? How subservient to corporate lobbyists is it? The answer to these three questions are pizza, tomato paste, and spuds. At a time when doctors and nutritionists are sounding a national alarm about a diabetes epidemic caused by gross obesity, including in children, the Congress of the United States of America, in all of its majesty, has killed an effort by the Agriculture Department to make school lunches healthier. Why? Three reasons. One, Congress is incapable of meeting America's big needs, so it's rationalizing its existence by messing with the small stuff. Two, Congress's right-wing ideologues are so batty that they even oppose federal rules to improve our children's health. Three, and most significant, the French fry lobby, tomato paste lobby, and frozen pizza lobby put big bucks into congressional campaigns and they pulled the strings of our lawmakers. So the financial interests of corporate powers, including Coca-Cola, ConAgra, and Del Monte, have overridden the interests of America's school kids. Yet, members of Congress still say they can't figure out why their public approval rating has crashed to an all-time low of 9%. 9. Good grief. As Senator Michael Bennett recently pointed out to his colleagues, oil giant BP, at the height of its disastrous contamination of our Gulf, held on to a 16% approval rating. The IRS gets a 40% rating on its job performance. And even the idea of America becoming communist draws 11% support. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real question is, who makes up the 9% that approve of this Congress? I'm guessing they're relatives, staffers, and the two Koch brothers. Plus, of course, corporate lobbyists. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Union. Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this playoff, Detroit Lions playoff weekend. Yeah, I'm going to be pretty heavily focused on that today. Very excited about it, in fact. Not quite sure what I'm going to do. I think I'm probably going to stay at home and watch the game. Although we all have options, right? But I think for now I'm just going to stay at home and watch the game. Just very, very excited in general. All right, a lot going on. Those of you, of course, paying attention to what's happening on the news, and I would think that would be most of you, are aware that Mayor Dave Bing addressed in an open session of the Detroit City Council, which doesn't happen very often. In fact, it's only the second time it's happened since the mayor was elected, dealing with the latest budget that the mayor is proposing. Now, the City Council is expressing some pessimism that the mayor's proposed budget will solve problems, will make them more more cash solvent. But the reality is, even the mayor says he's not sure that it's going to work. The bottom line is that this probably isn't the solution to the problem. All right, this is what the mayor had to say on Channel 7 Action News.
We've made progress from a financial standpoint, but there is no silver bullet.
Detroit Mayor Dave Bing updating City Council on his plan to dig the city out of a cash crisis. In the short term, the mayor believes his plan will put the city on the right track. His plan includes 1,000 layoffs that take effect in February, and his administration is getting concessions from vendors. They have a plan to cut down on overtime, but the mayor says they still need reductions in health care and pension benefits.
I've been asked, what is your proposal for the long term? What is your vision? What are you going to do about legacy costs? And I'm not ready to answer that just yet. I'm looking at the next 18 months to get us some headroom on a cash flow standpoint that then will allow us to go back and look at other structural things that we can deal with.
But clearly some council members wanted to see that more was on the table.
There's not much here that we haven't already heard before in terms of the direction and goals that the administration was trying to achieve.
Whether the mayor's plan will be enough to keep an emergency manager out of Detroit will be up to the governor. Mayor Bing plans to meet with him at the end of the month. And if the mayor does not get more concessions from unions by then,
we have to make some other hard decisions. I mean, do we do additional cuts? Or if the governor doesn't give us any more time than that, then it falls in his lap.
Okay, and that's Mayor Dave Bing. Analysis, post his meeting with the Detroit City Council has not been positive. Even he admits, as you heard in that audio, that it doesn't deal with critical issues like legacy cost, which is an ongoing burden. It's my understanding at this time that there are 6,000 current City of Detroit workers, and there are 15,000 retirees that are on the city payroll. It's a challenge. There's no question about that, and where it heads from there, well, we will see. Now, because I wasn't here yesterday, we weren't able to talk about the Highland Park, where the school system there has been told that they will be given an emergency manager. Let's listen again from Channel 7 to that audio.
District, the board actually called this meeting so they could start on the process to request a hearing with the governor and meet with them and show them their plan. Now, the hearing would give the superintendent the opportunity to do that and talk with Governor Rick Snyder and show him that they can get themselves out of their money problems and don't need the state's help. But the financial review team painted a very bleak picture of the district's finances, citing that they have been in deficit for the past 5 to 6 years and concluded that the district doesn't have a handle on the situation and that they don't want students and educators to feel the brunt of it. Now, we're talking about almost 1,000 students and their families here. Students are still on break, so it's unclear how many parents will be at tonight's meeting or even knew about it. The board called the special meeting so they could request the hearing in time because the governor has about 10 days to decide whether or not to appoint an emergency manager here in Highland Park for the school district. School board member Robert Davis says, contrary to the financial review team's report, they do have a budget plan, and he says they've already started implementing it.
If you look in the back of the high school, the Pistons donated the new basketball court, the new greenhouse. That was the works of our previous superintendent that has now come to fruition with this current superintendent. And so we are making strides. We made numerous cuts, very painful cuts, including privatizing every single service we possibly could in order to meet the mandates of the state.
Even if the school board does request this meeting and it gets approved, it doesn't mean that the governor has to agree to it or even meet with them.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, that's, again, it just underscores Public Act 4. It doesn't even require that the governor has to listen to anything or take recommendations or look at what they've done. He can do whatever he freaking pleases. And that's the problem with Public Act 4. Listen to what the spokesperson for the school district said. You know, they've made the cuts. They've privatized, much to the chagrin of many, every single service they possibly could. They've had donations from the Detroit Pistons. And the list goes on and on and on. Do they really need an emergency manager? Is that really going to solve any problem? You know, and let's remember that it was this governor that cut funding to schools, and where would they be if that funding were stored? That's another question that needs to be asked. If we were to restore that money, you know, how close would the Highland Park schools be to being solvent at that point? Now, I don't want to, and certainly don't want to leave you with nothing but bad news today. If you did not hear, and this is very good news, Chrysler plans to add over 1,100 jobs to the Jefferson, the North Assembly plant in Detroit. And this could be the beginning, a spark of revitalizing a part of the city that is in desperate need, and not just Detroit, but in Hamtramck as well, in desperate need of a spark. And so let's listen to, again, this audio from Channel 7 News on Chrysler's announcement.
More jobs returning to one of the big three.
I think that's great that they're bringing jobs to JNAP.
It's the nickname Sharita Buford still uses when referring to Chrysler's Jefferson North Assembly Plant. She worked there in quality control around 2003 and saw firsthand the need for this recent good news.
I saw, like, so many jobs losing, being lost, and being gained in that short period of time that I was there. It was great that to know that they're bringing jobs back to the actual company, Chrysler. That's great, you know.
Chrysler Group LLC announced it will add a third crew and 1,100 jobs to the plant, strengthening the home of the Jeep Grand Cherokee and the company's commitment to Detroit at a time when people like Anissa Ford are recommitting.
I think it's going to really like revamp the city and start bringing small businesses in because they'll be able to survive when there's workers here.
Did you just move to the city?
I did 3 months ago.
From the suburbs?
Yes.
Where were you before?
In Warren.
And Chrysler says that new third operating system will allow employees an additional 49 days off per year while adding an additional 49 days of production for the plant. Good news all around.
It is good news all around, and it does. I mean, it does support small businesses from restaurants and bakeries to auto, you know, suppliers to, you know, oil change places. Ultimately, it's very good news for Hamtramck and for Detroit, and I'm very excited to hear that they're going to be adding well over 1,100 jobs. And again, these are good middle class jobs, and so I'm thrilled. And of course, the UAW benefits as well. as these are all UAW jobs. So, you know, what do you say? I mean, that's good news, and I didn't want to just beat you up with nothing but bad news this morning, because God knows there's plenty of that. But on the good news front, they will be growing these new jobs, and it's just an exciting time. I think the 2012 with regard to especially automotive manufacturing is going to be quite positive. And if you stop and think about all of the concessions that are being made, all of the negative stuff that it comes to, we talk about unions, all of this talk about right to work or the lack thereof. The bottom line is it seems to me that the automotive companies are the ones that are leading the way in new jobs. And that's because, to a great degree, the labor, organized labor, has set up a very kind and that partnership between management and labor has gotten much easier for everybody. And again, because they looked at the reality of what they have to deal with. The UAW does not bury their head in the sand. They're looking at this realistically. The wages are not what they once were. At the same time, these are good jobs that'll be around for a while, and we know that with each passing contract, they will see an increase in their financial stability, and they will continue to grow these jobs because you know Michigan is still invested in manufacturing, and we will be for many years to come. This is the kind of news that we need to hear. And after what the governor did with the only other segment that was really growing in a serious way, which was the movie industry jobs, we now know what he did to that. And I'll come back and talk a little bit more about this, but unfortunately, we still have all our eggs in the manufacturing basket with regard to decent middle-class jobs. How are we going to diversify that? That's the big question. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. I'm Tony Trupiano. Again, we are wrapping up the first week of the new year and happy to be with you. This is 1310 WDTW. First shift will continue right after we take this quick break.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Chapstick asks, where do lost chapsticks go?
Hi, I'm Rick, and I lose my cherry chapstick a lot. The first 26 times I lost it, I found it laid in my back right pocket. And I'm a lefty, but this time, it's gone, man. And my chapstick has always been there for me. Like that one crazy cold winter, chapstick was my best friend. So if you see it, wait, is this it?
Do you know where your lost chapstick is? Have your say at facebook.com/chapstick. And try new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 for all-season protection. Ultra moisturizing for softer, healthier lips.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310
WDTW.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trivia.
And welcome back 10 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, January 6, 2012. Tony Trupiano with you. Thank you for punching in with us this morning. In the next hour, we're going to grade the governor in his first year. The Free Press running an editorial this morning grading the governor in a multitude of areas. I'll talk about it more in the next hour. We're going to give him an overall grade. In fact, our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day today is simply it's time to grade the governor. So go to the First Shift Facebook page and punch in there and go ahead. A, B, C, D, E, and incomplete are your options this morning. We've had a handful of people already vote in the poll this morning, but go ahead and do that. All right. In an ongoing feud, and listen, there's no love lost between Robert Fracano, the Wayne County executive, and L. Brooks Patterson, the Oakland County executive. Now, Brooks Patterson is anything but shy. Liz, I've interviewed him. There's part of me that even likes him a little bit, and maybe it's because he's so, I don't know, ballsy, because he is kind of ballsy. He was, by the way, the first one to submit, and this was years ago, that Oakland County needed to be wireless. No matter where you were at in Oakland County, you should be able to get on the internet for free. That was something that he fervently believed and still does to this, to my knowledge. Anyway, there's been an ongoing feud between he and Bob Fracano, and in a time when Bob Fracano probably doesn't need to take any more gruff than he already is. Charlie the Duff, my buddy, comes to. You know, Jeff, we got to get him on the show. Can we work on that next week, getting Charlie the Duff?
Yeah, we can try that.
I think it might be fun to get him on the show. I know it would be fun to get him on the show. But this is his report on Fracano versus Patterson, round one.
I took a trip to see L. Brooks Patterson, the Oakland County executive. He's hotter than a boiling pot. He says Bob Fracano, the embattled Wayne County executive, is telling lies about him.
Bob was lying about Oakland County, wasn't he?
Certainly neglects. Yeah, the answer is yes. It could be around the bush.
How big of a liar?
I just know we caught.
Ballpark me.
Well, we caught him with his hand in the cookie jar.
You see, Bob got caught overseeing a county full of incestuous deals and a roster full of cronies. 187 appointees in all. Bob said, don't look at me. Brooks has 2,000. Brooks says he's only got 20.
Hey, Bob, remember this list of appointees I gave you a few weeks back? That's all. That's all who reports directly to me. Why are you having trouble understanding that? He was given the facts, but chooses to continue to spread, I think, really falsehoods about Oakland County's government.
So I went to see Bob to tell him Brooks was mad. I got this guy.
JeffreyCollins. I'm the deputy Wayne County executive.
Will you acknowledge that he has only 20 appointees?
that Oakland County only has 20? I take your word for it. I mean,
not mine. It's Brooks.
I take Mr. Patterson's word for it. He's no reason to not be, you know, truthful with that number. If he says it, I'm sure he stands by it, and I'll accept his word.
We got a balanced budget out here?
Oh, yeah. If we got it in balance for the current fiscal year, 2012, we have it in balance for 13 and 14 since we run a three-year budget, and we're already working on 15. I'm not chasing a $160 million deficit like Fakano is.
Wayne County's $160 million in the hole. There's no big contracts there. Well, what do you say to that? Which ones run better?
Only thing I can tell you is that, you know, each county has its own unique set of challenges, its own unique set of issues.
You're in the black?
Oh, yeah.
We got a AAA rating?
Yep.
What's the United States government's rating?
I think it's a AA plus. They got.
So Oakland County's got a better credit rating than the United States government?
Yep.
And Wayne County?
You want to have regional cooperation and be able to work together to solve the challenges that both counties face.
Should he resign?
He should resign if, in fact, any of the dots are connected that shows that he, in fact, profited from all these friends and family contracts.
What if he didn't benefit, but his defense is true? I didn't know anything.
Well, that defense, I don't think, holds water because we know he knows something.
Brooks wants an apology from Bob. Are you mad at Bob?
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing done intentionally, you know, to malign any other neighboring county. If offense was taken for that, I definitely apologize.
All right. So there we go. I'm not sure where this whole thing began, but it's clear that as you listen to that audio, you know, there's some bad blood between these two guys. There's no question that's true. Jeff, I'm kind of curious why Jeffrey Collins spelled his name at the beginning of that. I'm not, I mean, we pretty much know how to spell Jeffrey Collins, but.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that was cleverly edited to make him sound like, I mean, maybe LaDuff went up to him and was like, cool, could you spell that for me? And then they cut it to make it look like, you know, that's how he starts every conversation.
Which is very possible because, you know, you can manipulate that stuff. Editing, you know, that's why I hate television, because they can do a lot in that editing booth. There's no question that's true.
It just makes it sound like he starts every conversation that way. Like, he walks up to, you know, to somebody in the grocery store, and he's like, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, how are you doing?
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm sure he's not doing that, but interesting enough, of course, Jeffrey Collins is a pretty serious guy, and it's interesting because, you know, the last time we visited with Charlie LaDuff and Bob Fakano on air, the last time we had audio, you know, Bob was being pretty cocky with Charlie, had him in his office, and it was like, hey, you know, here's a stack of stuff that Charlie, you don't have, you know, you didn't know about this, but obviously didn't take the bait for this interview and passed it off to Jeffrey Collins. And again, I don't, you know, you look at what's, you look what's going on and you're comparing apples to apples. Sure, at some degree you are. You've got, Oakland County, who is in the black, running, you know, running, their county government, above board and doing well. And you've got Wayne County, $160 million in the hole. You've got all these non-bid contracts. You've got the FBI investigating you, and you've got to begin to wonder, you know, how this all happened. You know, it's all very, very intertwined. And Wayne County has its problems, and as a resident of Wayne County, I'm concerned about that and keeping an eye on it. And we'll see how this all plays out. I just kind of wonder, Jeff, at what point does the FBI stuff begin to culminate into to charges? I wonder how long they go on with this.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to find out. Same thing. I mean, it's got to happen soon, but they seem to be dragging it out.
Yes, they certainly do. All right, in the next hour, we're going to be open lines for most of it, so get your dialing finger ready, and let's talk a little bit. We're going to grade the governor. His first year in office is behind us now, and I think most of us feel a certain way, but I'll give you a chance to express that. Again, go to Facebook to vote in our poll this morning. Grade the governor. In the meantime, we'll take a break here for the top of the hour. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
910 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. For the most part, things are looking just fine on the freeways. We do have one minor problem. 696 eastbound, that ramp to northbound 75. Got a disabled vehicle there on the right shoulder of the ramp, just causing people to slow down a little bit as they pass it. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high in the upper 40s to around 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 32. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high right around 40. Right now, it's fair and 40 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, economists are expecting a big jump in jobs numbers for December and a government report coming out this morning. CNN's Christine Roman says it would be an important turnaround.
We got nervous in the spring and summer, remember? People were talking about a double-dip recession here. And then things started to pick up steam with 120,000 jobs, I think, created in November. And then we're looking for 150,000 for December.
The November unemployment rate was put at 9.8%. Presidential candidate Rick Santorum was confronted at a college Republican convention in New Hampshire and got into a heated debate about same-sex marriage with one questioner. Democratic strategist Kiki McLean says whether you agree with Santorum or not, his prickly response to that questioner didn't go over very well.
Number one, it's the substance, and number two, it's how do you handle it? He would have been a lot better off looking at it and saying, look, young lady, I think you and I just disagree, but let me tell you what I believe, and moving into that, rather than the patronizing kind of picking back on her when she tried to challenge him.
There's been a bombing in the middle of Syria's capital, Damascus. State media call it a terrorist suicide attack. Syrian state TV reports at least 25 people dead, 46 wounded. Casey Anthony's lawyer confirms that it really is Anthony talking on a new internet video, even though she looks a lot different from how she looked at her trial. She's blonde in the video. She was brunette at the trial. The lawyer says it appears the video was stolen and leaked by someone else. Mark Lipman, who represents Anthony's parents, says they're not sure what to make of it.
Without knowing more about why this was put on, they don't want to make any decision as to whether or not they should be upset.
Anthony was acquitted of murder last summer in the death of her infant daughter. Joran van der Sloot goes on trial today in Peru. His lawyer says he will admit to killing a 21-year-old woman and will fight other charges that could lead to even more prison time. This is the man who once was the prime suspect in the disappearance of American teenager Natalie Holloway in Aruba some years back. That case remains unsolved. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
GEICO makes it so simple to save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. But why stop there? GEICO finds every possible way to save you even more money. Good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, even good student discounts. And don't forget our Looking Fine discount, a discount for the attractive folk like yourselves. Okay, there's not really a Looking Fine discount, just seeing if you're paying attention. It's not a bad idea, though.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you didn't go buy yourself a tablet computer last month, but you still want one, you're going to love this. The prices of many tablets are sinking like a stone. Following the holiday sales success of inexpensive devices, such as the $199 Kindle Fire, other companies are being forced to cut their prices. Sony has cut the price of its 16-gig tablet $100 to $399. You can now get a 64-gig BlackBerry Playbook for $299. A town named after a company because its factory is the major employer is losing the factory. Alcoa will shut down its smelting facility in Alcoa, Tennessee. That's part of the company's move to cut overall production 12% as demand for aluminum weakens. 150,000 is how many jobs economists think the economy we added last month. We find out for sure this morning when the Labor Department releases its December measure of employment and unemployment. Ahead of that, S&P futures are gaining 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Lower costs. For business owners and managers, those two words represent a big help. Want to hear two words that can get you there? Sam's Club, where you'll always find terrific values for your business. See for yourself with a free cost comparison the morning of January 10th or 11th. No gimmicks, just bring your recent business invoices from another supplier. It's that easy, and the results will leave you saying three words. Sign me up. See Club for details. Sam's Club, savings made simple.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla, not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujano.
And welcome to Hour 2 of this Friday, November. Wow, where am I at? January 6, 2012 program. November, where the hell did that come from? I don't know. I really don't know. We're open lines up until 7:50 this hour. We're going to spend some considerable time, hopefully, with you taking phone calls. I would like you to grade the governor. I'll get to that in just a moment. We'll also take a look at Rick Santorum's run for the presidency and how real it is now that they left Iowa on to New Hampshire. Of course, when the spotlight goes on you, lots of good things and some not so good things can and do happen. And we'll explore some of that as we work our way through the hour today. We'll also take a look at President Barack Obama's recess appointments and what some are calling unconstitutional. Of course, those some belong to the Republican Party. Others are finding quite empowering. Thank you very much. So there's a lot to get to in this hour. Do want to remind you that it is about you. It always is. Our number, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. That's T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. So those are three of the ways you can connect with us on this Friday program. The Detroit Free Press has run an editorial today titled Grading Governor Snyder. He is, of course, 1 year into his job as CEO of the state of Michigan and taking his previous experience as a chief executive officer, he has decided that that he is going to run the state as if it were a business. Well, you know, from those of us that have played politics for a long time now, how is that working for us? Not too well. Now, what the Free Press did is they graded him on a variety of issues. I'm just going to quickly walk through this, and What I decided to do on the Facebook page is, for those of you that want to go and punch in over there, just to go to Facebook, search for First Shift if you don't already like the First Shift Facebook page. That'll help you find First Shift, and then go ahead. You'll see the poll question right there at the top of the First Shift Facebook page. And then just ask the question, how would you grade the governor? A, B, C, D, E, and, of course, incomplete. The Free Press did a little differently. That's why I marked the difference there. And this is basically what the Free Press had to say. On the jobs front, on financial governance, they give the governor an A. On economic development, they say his grade is pending. On education, they gave him a grade of C. On health and welfare, they give the governor a B. On thriving cities, they give the governor a D. And part of it is because they claim that he's not doing enough to attract younger people. On social issues, they give him a D. On leadership, they give him a B. And so I guess if you probably factor in all of those, he'd probably end up with a C from the Free Press, which is better than most of us or all of us are giving him on the First Shift Facebook page. I gave him a D, and the only reason I didn't give him an E, that he's gotten received a couple E's, is because he is right on the bridge issue. There have been a couple things that he's been right on, and so I'll give him credit where credit is due. I just know that the Governor Snyder, his overall agenda, although he wants to paint himself as a moderate, maybe, or does he want to paint himself as being anything? That's the real question here. Does he want us to perceive him as being anything? We've listened to some fairly prominent Democrats, go after him justifiably. Because he often says one thing and does another, or he'll say, I've got to honor what the legislative process and their agenda, which may be different from mine, but heck, if it's what they want, then, you know, certainly I can endorse those issues. One of them, domestic partner benefits, which is going to be challenged in the courts. Another one that's going to be challenged in the courts is redistricting, more specifically the Oakland County case. In fact, we need to get Frank Houston back on the show to follow up on that story. Let me know your thoughts. If you were to grade Governor Snyder, here we are, the beginning of the new year. He's now had a year to show us what he's all about. How would you grade him? 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Again, if you would rather send your comments via email, feel free to do that. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Again, I gave him a D because he's given us a couple things. Also has ignored lots of others. It's really difficult. When you have a situation where you've got a Republican Senate, a Republican House, a Republican Supreme Court, and a Republican governor, to expect that anything the Democrats want would be part of that mix. And, of course, we have seen that it is not part of that mix. They have ignored, as Harvey Santana told us, State Representative Santana told us, on Monday's show, item pricing of one of the many issues where it was clear that they were lied. Legislators were lied to, what would happen if they got rid of item pricing? Well, it would bring costs down. It would save, $1.5 billion. Well, none of that, of course, is true. It has proven to be true. And again, Harvey's about to go back out and recreate a study he did a year ago that showed that what they were being told was false and misleading. And sure enough, a year later, it's proven to be false and misleading. So let's grade the governor this morning. Now, there are other issues that we're going to get to as well. Jeff, as you and I were talking yesterday about what happens now with Rick Santorum And, you know, the way that you were positioning him actually kind of came true overnight for the former senator from Pennsylvania. He was greeted with huge crowds in New Hampshire as he came into New Hampshire. He raised overnight, it's my understanding, $5 million, which is huge. That's a pretty big 24-hour fundraising total. No question that is true. But he's now finding himself in a little bit of hot water by some of the things that he has said. And, you know, he has a long history of being quite controversial and really shooting himself in the foot a lot, especially when he was a senator. He is a very conservative right-wing guy. He is very anti-homosexual. There's a lot of stuff on the internet that you don't even have to look that hard to find it, where, you know, he is involved in controversial statements, including one yesterday. It's just so, you know, you got to wonder, Jeff, as we look at, you know, Mitt Romney, who's, by the way, in the polling in New Hampshire has got a substantial lead. You've got to wonder how long Rick Santorum can maintain what little bit of momentum he got going out of Iowa, I would think.
Well, it's his turn at the top, and they're all finding once you go to the top, if you don't treat it like Mitt Romney's treating it, which is, you know, try to stay out of the fray as much as possible, then you're going to get lambasted, and it's his turn.
All right, well, part of his turn includes a discussion he was having yesterday where he was talking about... how do I position this? Oh, he was talking about helping people. This is what he had to say. Listen very, very carefully to what presidential candidate Rick Santorum had to say.
He just keeps expanding. I was in Indianola a few months ago, and I was talking to someone who works at the Department of Public Welfare here, and she told me that the state of Iowa is going to get fined if they don't sign up more people under the Medicaid program. They're just pushing harder and harder to get more and more of you dependent upon them so they can get your vote. That's what the bottom line is. I don't want to make people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. I want to give them the opportunity to go out and earn the money and provide for themselves and their families. And the best way to do that is to get the manufacturing sector of the economy rolling again.
Okay, now here's the challenge, and we're gonna take a break here in about 60 seconds, but we'll come back and play that piece of audio again, and then we're gonna allow Rick Santorum a chance to defend what he said. But here's the controversy. The controversy is, did he say that he doesn't support black people?
To make black people's lives.
Did he say black people or did he say something else? Now, again, we'll play the whole thing again after we take the break, and then we're going to play his response. But here, you know, folks, this is where we've got to be careful, because he has a track record of saying controversial things about different constituencies. So this is not a new problem for him. The difference is, as Jeff said, he's the flavor of the week now, so, you know, we're going to be paying a lot of attention to him. And the bottom line is he going to get a pass on this? And I'll give you my thoughts on this when we come back from the break. But again, we'll replay it again, and then we'll play his response to it, and then we'll let you decide. Of course, if you want to call and grade the governor, Governor Snyder, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll take a quick break. A lot to get to in this hour, including visiting with Occupy Detroit at 7:50. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Booyah! 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 That's right. BYOB, bring your own booyah! And if I share with you my story, will you share your dollar with me?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political, so I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Just a couple of problems out there on the freeways right now. 696 eastbound at 75. We have a disabled vehicle there on the right shoulder of that ramp to northbound 75. Then 75 northbound after Stashabar Road. Have an accident there on the right shoulder. I'm Russell Traffic.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high right around the 50-degree mark. Partly cloudy, a low around 32 tonight. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Right now, it's fair and 39 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic and the ladies loved you. Now you're tired, moody, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Try Ageless Male, a supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain normal levels. Feel that energy again and a healthy sex drive. Call to try Ageless Male risk-free. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475. 1-800-715-3475.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Some nights I can't get to sleep. Some nights I can't stay asleep. With Unisom, I can do both.
Unisom sleep tabs are clinically proven to help you fall asleep 33% faster and keep you asleep longer, so you get a more restful night's sleep. Made with an ingredient not found in other leading sleep aids, Unisom sleep tabs are safe and non-habit forming. Just one pill takes the uncertainty out of bedtime, giving you the sleep you need.
So I'll wake up ready to go.
Unisom sleep tabs. Fall asleep faster, sleep longer.
Recently on First Shift.
Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources? This is what he had to say on national television.
In the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers, because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
First Shift with Tony Trio on 1310 WDTW.
Tea party guy, by the way.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Pleasure to be with you on this Friday morning, the 6th day of January, the year 2012. All right, Rick Santorum, Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States of America, was talking yesterday. And again, this is what he had to say. We'll play the whole clip, and then we're going to play his defense of what he said.
It just keeps expanding. I was in Indianola a few months ago, and I was talking to someone who works at the Department of Public Welfare here, and she told me that the state of Iowa is going to get fined if they don't sign up more people onto the Medicaid program. They're just pushing harder and harder to get more and more of you dependent upon them so they can get your vote. That's what the bottom line is. I don't want to make people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. I want to give them the opportunity to go out and earn the money and provide for themselves and their families. And the best way to do that is to get the manufacturing sector of the economy rolling again.
All right, no, it's not like you got this. You know, listen to the response. Jeff, the response was actually kind of tepid. Even, you know, the applause was, you know, tepid. It was. There was not this, you know, rousing, yeah, yeah, man, absolutely. The question now, though, is did he say black people, right?
Well, that's what that's the controversy. And if you just listen to this part right here.
To make black people's lives better.
Now, it doesn't sound to me like he started to say, well, you know.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, let's hear what he had to say, and then because you make a good point here. But let's let him defend it first, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
And you told an audience there that you don't want to, quote, make black people's lives better by giving them somebody else's money. Mark Morio said this, Senator Santorum is perpetuating a thoroughly false and destructive racial stereotype in a desperate attempt to score political points. He is appealing to the lowest common denominator within the electorate and, quite frankly, should be ashamed of yourself. How would you respond to that, Senator?
I would respond a couple of ways. First off, Mark Morio and I have worked together on a number of issues, and he knows quite well how much work I've done in the African-American community. I've worked with him at the Urban League. I've worked with him when he was mayor of New Orleans. The other thing is I've looked at that quote. And in fact, I looked at the video. And I don't, in fact, I'm pretty confident I didn't say black. What I think, I started to say a word and sort of mumbled it and changed my thought. But I don't recall saying black. No one in that audience, no one listening, no reporter there, heard me say that. I think it was, and from everything I see, and I've looked at it several times, I was starting to say one word, and I sort of came up with a different word and moved on, and it sounded like black. But I can assure you, if you look at my record, there's no one that's worked more when I was a senator from Pennsylvania in the urban communities, both black, Hispanics, as well as whites.
All right. So there's that's his explanation. Now go ahead and make your point, Jeff. Go ahead and make your point.
Well, when somebody starts to say something, you stumble a little bit. And we played it a couple times already. He's not stumbling. Like and there's no long pause beforehand. Like you start to say something, like I just did.
Right.
And there was a pause there where I was like, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to switch things up. Now, that was straight into the thing.
All right, play it again.
You want what he said?
Just what he said.
To make people's lives better by...
All right, now, you know, the question is, and there's some, if you go on the internet, there's some people saying that it sounds more like blah, not black, but blah.
Well, you know, people say that all the time, blah people.
Right, because, yeah, we refer to blah people all the time.
Right.
In fact, there's a whole sub-segment of society that are the blah people. Even in his defense of what he said... He said, I think. Now, this is not something, Jeff, that you when you're defending yourself on something controversial, that you come to a weak defense. And he had a very weak defense as to what he said. I think what I was trying to say was this.
Well, not even what I was trying to say. He says, I think, after watching the video, that I'm pretty confident in that I said this. Don't you know what you're saying when you say it? That's where I'm kind of confused about.
Well, let's break it down a little further. If he wasn't referring to black people, then who was he referring to? Isn't that the question we need to ask ourselves?
Well, I think he's referring to people who are on welfare or taking benefits.
So they would be blah people.
Even still, you're right. That makes it sound pretty... You're going to call people like that blah people? That's kind of offensive.
All right, let's take it a step further. Let's give him, again, the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't really going to say black people and that he was actually going to, you know, switch and say something else. What was he going to say? Who... What people? The word people doesn't change. Just the word before people changes. So what is an alternative to blah or black?
I'm clueless. Okay. I can't think of what he was saying.
So is he, because he didn't say what he meant at that point. That's the problem I have with his explanation, is he didn't say, well, what I really meant to say was this. He never, ever clarified it. So he's got to wear it. You know, again, this guy has a pattern of saying controversial things about different constituencies. We know that he's anti-homosexual. We know that. We clearly know that. All you have to do is Google him to find that out. There was a great little piece in the Free Press yesterday that was called Santorum's Google Problem. You know, he has no real infrastructure, Jeff. In fact, I have a story in front of me. Let me grab it. And here's the story. It says, Rick Santorum's Michigan campaign limited to a Facebook page managed by a Granville man. And it says, former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum scored big in the Iowa caucuses Tuesday night, but his campaign for Michigan's February 28th presidential primary has been limited to the Facebook page managed by Granville resident Peter Ackerman. I've been a supporter of Rick Santorum for a long time, said Ackerman, a 34-year-old industrial supply salesman who became an admirer of the former Pennsylvania senator while growing up and living in the Philadelphia area. But the Granville father of two toddlers said he's not ready to leave his day job for the type of campaign Santorum will have to wage in Michigan to contend for the nomination. Ackerman has no bumper sticker, yard signs, or buttons to hand out. In fact, he's never been involved in a political campaign or the Republican Party. You're going to love this quote. Santorum is a hobby, said Ackerman, who was put in charge of the Michigan for Rick Santorum Facebook page after he posted this Sunday evening note. If you want a Michigander to manage this, just let me know. So far, that response has been muted despite the fact that Santorum drew over 30,000 votes in Iowa, just 8 votes short of Romney's winning tally. Santorum's Michigan Facebook page had only 67 likes as of 4 p.m. on Wednesday. Still, Ackerman says he believes Santorum's message of fiscal conservatism, foreign policy, and social values will resonate with the Republican voters in Michigan. How do you like that, Jeff? That's his whole Michigan campaign. Some guy volunteers on the Facebook page to manage it. The campaign sends him a note, says, absolutely, feel free. That's it. That's the whole nine yards.
Well, what does that mean? That's the question I want to ask, and we'll talk about it on the other side, maybe. Is does he just not give Michigan, he thinks that it'll be settled before then, so
well,
it's not worth campaigning?
And we will talk about it after the break, but it goes to a bigger question, is he doesn't have an infrastructure in place. National infrastructure in place. Quick break here, and we're up against it. So let's go to the break. We'll be back. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at an accident northbound 75 near Ortonville Road up in the Clarkston area. It's on the right shoulder, not really causing too much of a delay. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high around 50 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 32. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Quick look at Sunday, partly sunny, a high in the upper 30s, and then fair and 39 degrees right now at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
We don't think it's an exaggeration to say that people could literally freeze to death in their homes as a result of this corporate decision.
USW Local 101 Vice President Jim Savage talking about possible home heating oil supply disruptions from the closing of 3 refineries in the Philadelphia area. Sunoco and ConocoPhillips plan to close 3 refineries and replace the product from those plants with imports. USW says losing these 3 refineries will also diminish the ability to make up losses in case Gulf Coast refineries are again disabled by hurricanes. USW Local 10234 President Dennis Stefano says that about 1,400 United Steelworker jobs will be destroyed, along with hundreds of building trades and management jobs, and local government and schools will lose millions of dollars. The union wants to keep the refineries open.
The very companies that are shutting down our refineries right now are the ones that are going to be importing, putting us out of work and replacing our good middle-class paying jobs with imported product. Before any more refineries are shut down in the United States, we absolutely believe Congress should require, absolutely require the CEOs people making the decisions to close these refineries down to come before Congress and explain why they're being shut down.
The attack is on the working people, and the attack is against collective bargaining, whether it's private or public workers. We're under attack right now.
International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 21 President Dan Kaufman says his union is determined to fight the EGT company to the bitter end as the company tries to bust the ILWU at the Port of Longview in Washington State. Kaufman says the ILWU will meet a grain ship expected to come into the port soon in an effort to stop it from being loaded with non-union labor. ILWU and the local Central Labor Council in the Longview area have put out a labor call to action to make sure the ship is met by a massive protest. Kaufman says ILWU supported Wisconsin's worker uprising to defend public worker collective bargaining, and he vows ILWU will keep fighting the ongoing attacks on the union rights of workers.
The ILWU said, we've had enough. I know the people of Wisconsin said, we have had enough, and we're fighting back.
The Washington Education Association has won a lawsuit in which they accused the legislature of violating the Constitution by not properly funding the state's public education system. Jesse Russell reports.
The state Supreme Court ruled on Thursday that the legislature isn't doing enough and criticized the body for discussing reforms while making substantial cuts to education. Writing for the majority, Justice Deborah Stevens said the court wouldn't stand by as the legislature makes unfulfilled promises. The court has given lawmakers until 2018 to put reforms in place in an attempt to curtail what has become a pattern of moving the reform deadline further down the road. The ruling by the Washington State Supreme Court echoes a similar decision in 1978, which the court used as precedent for making such a demand of the legislature.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you. First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trubiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. Rick Santorum is the topic du jour. Again, feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595. We played the audio a few times now, and it's obvious that he said something a little more than disingenuous. Again, the spotlight's on, and the question remains, what kind of infrastructure does he have in place? Well, you know, Jeff, the reality is, he doesn't have much of an infrastructure. He was a non-issue until the last 10 days in Iowa, and that all of a sudden gave him a little recognition. But that's all it's given him because he doesn't have a national infrastructure in place. He doesn't have, even in New Hampshire, he's handicapped by a lack of staff. He doesn't have a national staff. He doesn't have people and staff and even in the next three or four states. And so, the reality is because he was a non-issue up until 10 days ago that this handicaps him in a huge way.
Well, I would imagine it does, though MSNBC just, and I'm trying to print the article for you, just wrote an article about how he could be the winner in Iowa. So there's got to be some push behind him that's helping him out.
I'm sorry, you said could be the winner in Iowa?
Yeah, because they're saying there's 20 votes that apparently they counted as Mitt Romney. I don't know how this is happening. I just got the story. It just came across 14 minutes ago. It got updated. 20 votes that were put in Romney's category that should have been Santorum's.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
No, and now, then if he's declared the winner of that, does that help? I guess it doesn't change much. He was still, like I said, a winner no matter what because he got a ton of support.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is, although he may not be the vote winner, I think he is the winner. Ultimately, he is the winner. Because of how well he did. But he did well because he appealed to the evangelical vote in Iowa, which is exponentially much higher in Iowa than it would be in New Hampshire or Michigan, for that matter. I don't know. It's all very interesting. But again, it also goes to how ill-prepared he probably is to be the front runner. Because he doesn't have, he really just doesn't have the staff to do this. But trust me, at this late in the game, and I don't know how well he's going to do in New Hampshire. The Mitt Romney, statistically, from a polling standpoint, Mitt Romney has a huge lead over anybody else, although he is now being, and this does not come as a surprise, he is now being attacked in a fairly substantial way by Newt Gingrich, who this is probably his last hurrah. But all very, very interesting. But it'll be, and we'll see what kind of controversy this really creates. You know, part of this, did he say black or did he say blah or whatever he said, Jeff, is that, you know, the media is used to Rick Santorum saying controversial things. So I think they're going to hold his feet to the fire on this. I really do, to a greater degree. It's how the voters respond to it is what really matters. And I don't see that the people of New Hampshire are going to tolerate it. And it'll really be interesting to see what happens today if they end up turning this Iowa result around and giving Rick Santorum a little more cachet than he had going into New Hampshire. I don't know that it matters because of his controversial view on things.
Well, we talked about this a couple of days ago. What are the chances that, I guess this is dumb to bring up, but you get this kind of support and suddenly the financial backing is there. People start throwing money at you because you're one of the two serious candidates to come out of Iowa. What if that's Rick Santorum's main goal? If he doesn't have an infrastructure set up, then maybe he was just trying to get enough attention where he could become a front runner, get the funding, drop out, keep the money, and use it for future things in his political career.
Don't think he's bright enough for that, number one. Number two, we know in Iowa, and everybody knows in Iowa, especially on the Republican side, it's really very much about, appealing to the evangelical vote. Who was left? When Michelle Bachmann became a non-contender, and that was true, although she won the Ames straw poll, you know, it became fairly obvious that she wasn't going to be a serious contender. So who did the evangelical voters have to go at that point? They had Newt Gingrich, they had Rick Santorum, and they had Mitt Romney. Well, we know Mitt Romney is not appealing to the conservative voters, and evangelicals aren't going to be in love with him because he's a Mormon, so they can't align themselves from a religious standpoint. So that really only left Rick Santorum because, you know, Newt Gingrich has his own, you know, problems because of infidelity, and, you know, he doesn't appeal to the evangelical side of the equation. That only left one guy. That's how Rick Santorum ends up where he's at, Jeff. Well, and that's the only reason he ends up where he's at.
Shouldn't that have been a reason why maybe Mitt does a little more focusing? Shouldn't he focused on Santorum attacking him instead of Newt in the beginning? I mean, if you look at Iowa and think, okay, it's, you know, hugely based on your religion or whatever. You look at Santorum and think, okay, well, if I knock him down a little bit, then I'll clearly be the winner instead of now this controversial thing.
Well, I don't know that Mitt Romney had a choice when Newt Gingrich became the flavor of the day and he started crawling up, and actually he skyrocketed up the polls. And he started doing well. Mitt Romney had no choice but to go after him. He didn't really have a choice. And the way he chose to do that was through the PAC, which, of course, he says he doesn't coordinate with, but we all know the reality of that. And all of that aside, it worked. It worked in the way it needed to work. It knocked Newt Gingrich out of the race, and it may have killed his candidacy moving forward. He may be done as a result of what Mitt Romney did to him in Iowa. So I don't know that he had a choice, and I don't think he could go after both Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum. So I think that he had to go after the bigger of the two, and at that point it was Newt Gingrich. I think that was just a political strategy that he had to adhere to. I don't know that he really had a choice, Jeff.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just don't think that he had much of a choice. And again, we take a look at the reality. You can't stop, especially in Iowa. There is that the evangelical vote is huge, and the conservative Christians do vote in Iowa. There's no question. That's also true. So those votes were going to come for Santorum anyway. There's nothing Mitt Romney was going to be able to do about it. Listen, it's clear because Mitt Romney continues, even if they turn this thing around and they show that that Santorum won Iowa. And again, I don't think it even matters at this point because we have seen what's happened historically in Iowa for Republicans, Jeff. And it, you know, again, 4 years ago, it was Mike Huckabee winning the evangelical vote. A few weeks later, he's dropping out of the race. So I don't know that and at the end of the day, this ends up helping Rick Santorum anyway. I just don't think it does.
Well, if anything, doesn't it, it'll hurt the rest of the field. I mean, it looks like we're going to get whittled down to Mitt Romney within the next couple, weeks, maybe?
Well,
days?
You know, again, it just I spent a considerable amount of time yesterday afternoon reading about where this is all heading because, you know, Michigan has their primary February 28th. So my question is, will it matter? Will Michigan matter? By the way, Buddy Romer's on Morning Joe right now. Just thought I'd let you know that. I might as well say it. He was supposed to be with us at 7 o'clock and basically, nudged us out. So we're done with Governor Romer. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, when we take a look at where Mitt Romney is in the polling in the primary states, he's doing very well in New Hampshire. He's doing well in South Carolina. So yeah, Jeff, it makes you wonder by the time they get to Michigan, does it even matter or will Mitt Romney basically have this wrapped up? Well, part of the discussion we had on this show on Wednesday was that no, you know, Michigan really may be in the mix, but I don't know that I feel that strongly about that. I think Mitt Romney may have this thing wrapped up before it gets to Michigan. So you're right.
Well, and thankfully for Mitt, I don't know. I guess he does have support in Michigan, but think about what he's done to Michigan or his stances and how they, you know, oppose what Michigan's about. That he wanted the auto companies to fail and all of it. I mean, it just seems like he better have it wrapped up before he comes into the buzzsaw of Michigan.
But it's not going to be a buzzsaw because the polling shows us that he is trouncing, Mitt Romney's trouncing any other candidate in Michigan right now. Absolutely trouncing every other candidate. So he's got Michigan pretty well sewed up. You know, he won in 2008, Mitt Romney won the Michigan primary. There are a lot of people in Michigan that see him as a Michigander, and technically he is a Michigander. So take that for what you will.
Well, I mean, the entire auto industry thing, that has to be a smack in the face to what he was saying. Oh, let them fail. Well, now, obviously not letting them fail was the best possible decision.
I get that, but I don't know that the Republicans are going to agree with you and I. And that's, remember, it's not people like you and I are they're going to vote for him anyway, right? It's not. I mean, that's the reality is it's the Republicans that are voting for him, not Democrats.
Well, and we talked about this in the last hour about not looking at the bottom line. Well, okay, you can, or actually maybe just looking at the bottom line. Oh, get rid of the auto industry. Well, you don't think about all the other businesses around the area that are affected as well. Same with the film credits industry,
right? Well. Anyway, we got to get to the break. I'm sure that we'll be having this conversation many, 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 many times before the February 28th primary. When we come back, the Reverend Charles Williams will join us as he sits in the Occupy Detroit hot seat for this Friday program. I'm Tony Truppiano. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. A quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
Recently on First Shift.
But I believe, knowing what I know in a year as a state representative, that the answers were there for a whole long time. The problem is that people chose to ignore them. And the warning signs were there. I mean, they were there in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and 2000. And here we are today paying the price for the fact that we were living under an economy that was not an economy that is. And this is a messy divorce from the way we used to do things to the way we need to start living.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trippiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today.
Tweet. Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. That's right at 7:50. We are in wait of the Reverend Charles Williams. As soon as we've got him, we'll bring him to you. And just call me One Take Tony. Thank you very much. Yes, I am the consummate professional. I'm working on tomorrow's promo. Or the weekend promo.
Now you're giving the behind-the-scenes secrets out?
Absolutely. I, you said
which, by the way, you know, I don't know if you ever did this, or maybe you don't want to do it, but the counting, remember the counting we did and people were sending you emails trying to guess
yes.
what it was? I don't know if you ever wanted to give that secret away or not.
You know, I don't know that we did. Well, you know, we did, actually.
I don't know that. Did you ever unveil the mask behind the secret of that?
Well, I think we did. For those that don't know what we're talking about, we were doing a countdown. I don't remember where we were at, but I got so many in a row where I got it done in one take. What we do every day at some point during the show is I record a little promo for the next day, and when it's the weekend, just kind of for the weekend, this is what we got coming up tomorrow, so on and so forth. Well, we went so many days in a row with me being able to do it in one take without making a mistake, which I'm sure makes it easier for you, Jeff, to put it together. I'm assuming that's true, although it's not that big a deal, you know, to have to do some minor edits, but I don't remember how many days in a row it was, but we had that streak going, and we were asking people to guess what the streak was. And
remember some of the funny guesses
we did get some very interesting and entertaining guesses. That's very true.
In fact, one of them was days without smoking, and now you could almost say that you do have a count that's similar to that.
Well, yes. Now we do. We absolutely do. So, but yes, so that's what that was all about way back when. In fact, I was when I was sitting in the studio this morning as you were recording audio for the show today, I noticed that there was a production list in one of the computer screens, and we had the Snyder Watch. Back at the very beginning, we were trying to get Governor Snyder on this program. Of course, we've largely given up on trying to get him on the show, and it's not that I don't want to interview him, folks. The reality is, he is never going to come on this show. There's no way the governor would ever agree to do to be interviewed by me, and it's just because I'm going to ask him the questions that he doesn't want to answer, and that's just the honest to God truth. I would never be disrespectful to him. I can assure you that's true. But you know, and like every other You know, every other Republican lawmaker, they just don't want to come on this show because they are going to be held to a different standard on this program as they would be on any other, and I mean any other radio program or media outlet in the entire state of Michigan, because they don't want to answer truthfully. They just don't want to. And I understand that. It's not easy and to defend what you do. That's why when I read these interviews with them and I ask myself, and I really do ask myself this because I have been a journalist in my career. I don't consider myself a journalist any longer. I'm very partisan. I'm an activist, but the last thing I am is a journalist. When I read what these so-called journalists do when they interview Republican lawmakers, including the governor, and giving them a free pass, it really infuriates me. I mean, it really does infuriate me. So anyway, that's I'll just let that, you know. I guess I do mean disrespect to traditional journalism because I don't feel like they're really doing their job any longer. I really do believe that they don't do their job any longer. Journalism has changed a great deal in the last decade, and with all due respect, it's like everything else that's happened because of the economy. And when people go to save money, and corporations go to save money, when our government goes to save money, when you start taking shortcuts, you know, that's that. We'll again define it as institutional memory. When you start getting rid of institutional memory, and certainly institutional memory matters in journalism, you know, you hold everybody to a different, a less high standard. And that in and of itself is really quite daunting for somebody that cares about journalism. I love reading the newspaper. I love reading news. I'm passionate and insatiable when it comes to reading. My son will tell you that. I read nonstop. I like to be informed. It's difficult when I see what's happened to journalism. It really is for me. Very, very difficult, and so that's why when you see real work being done, like Chris Savage with Eclectablog, when you see somebody putting in the kind of and blogs really to a large degree have taken over where journalists once did. We don't have investigative journalism. I mean, a little bit on television, but really not in print anymore. I've been a little disappointed, just a little bit, honestly, with the Detroit Free Press, who is the more liberal of the two papers we have in this town, that they're not more hard-hitting. But, again, I think part of the reality there is they've let their investigative journalists go because of financial reasons. It is what it is. It is what it is. And we all suffer as a result of that because we don't have good investigative journalists anymore. Again, Chris Savage with Eclectablog is another reason, another person that I admire because he's not afraid to say what needs to be said. And you'll be mindful that he's, although he's very much a liberal Democrat, he has been very critical of the Michigan Democratic Party, much to their chagrin. And although they don't always agree with Chris, I think that there's some mutual respect there. But, you know, Chris is not afraid to see it for what it is, whatever it is, and report on it for its truth based on its facts. That's really what journalism was supposed to be. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. You know, there are certain standards that as a journalist you have to hold yourself to. I am not held to those standards, to be honest. I'm just being honest. I'm not held to those standards. Because I'm not a journalist. I'm an activist, and I don't pretend to be anything but that on air. And so I'm glad to do what I do. But I do bring the truth to the air. There's no question that's true. I don't lie to you folks. I don't misrepresent what's happening. And I have I've been the first one, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, if you're going to be honest about it, let's be honest about it. I am the first one. If I make a mistake, I say I make a mistake. If I'm proven to be wrong, I admit that I'm wrong. I don't back away from that because I do hold myself to a certain degree of professional ethics. I want to be taken seriously.
Is that the one? Like, technology has a lot of downfalls, but the biggest one might just be that newspapers have less money, so they basically vanilla some things and other things just get. I guess sports has stayed up. Other than that, there's a lot of things in the newspaper that don't get supported.
I think even to a greater degree, they could be doing a better job with sports, but that's that. All right, folks, so we're going to take a quick break for the top of the hour. Russ coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. Joe DeSano in studio with us when First Shift continues. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We got a couple of accidents out there on 75. First northbound near Ortonville Road. It's on the right shoulder. Then 75 southbound after 7 Mile. Another accident there on the right shoulder. Aside from that, we're looking pretty good. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high in the upper 40s to right around 50 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low right at the freezing mark. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Right now, it's fair and 39 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, they're re-racking the pins for the next one, the New Hampshire Republican presidential primary next week, and the candidates are rolling up the miles campaigning for votes. CNN's Steve Kastenbaum joins us live from Manchester. Steve?
Well, Jim, the candidate schedules are packed today. Mitt Romney will be at a rally in Conway this morning, then a spaghetti dinner this evening. John Huntsman is speaking at the New England College Convention and two other locations today. Newt Gingrich has three events planned, two for Ron Paul. And Rick Santorum will be piling on the miles. He has eight events scheduled today. Yesterday, he was confronted by Occupy Wall Street protesters at one gathering, and some booed him at a college campus after he got into a debate over same-sex marriage. Jim?
Joran van der Sloot goes on trial today in Peru, ready to admit to killing a 21-year-old woman. He was a suspect in Natalie Holloway's disappearance in Aruba 6.5 years ago. CNN's Rafael Romo has more on today's proceedings in Peru.
Van der Sloot is charged with premeditated murder, which carries a maximum 30-year sentence on conviction. His attorney says he would be willing to plead guilty to a lesser charge of simple homicide, punishable by up to 20 years.
A Texas teenager who was mistakenly deported to South America will be handed over by Colombian government officials to U.S. embassy officials today. CNN's Ed Lavandera has the strange story of 15-year-old runaway Jacadrian Turner.
There are still a great deal of questions that are unanswered as to how all of this could have happened. Essentially, she was arrested in April of last year with no identification on her, simply told authorities, the local Houston police, after she was arrested for shoplifting, that her name was Tika Cortez.
Then one thing led to another, and the girl was deported by mistake to Colombia. Syrian State TV reports an apparent suicide bombing killed more than two dozen people today in Damascus. Syrian officials are calling it a terrorist attack. This is CNN Radio.
Do you suffer from a magnesium deficiency?
My doctor told me I needed more magnesium, so he recommended I use Magox 400.
You're not alone. Millions of Americans don't get enough magnesium in their daily diet. And magnesium is a critical nutrient that helps you convert carbohydrates, protein, and fat into energy. Doctor-recommended Magox 400 is made with the most concentrated form of magnesium available, and each dose of Magox 400 provides all the magnesium you need each day.
Magox 400's magnificent.
Try Magox 400, the magnificent magnesium supplement.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-2829. That's 1-800-644-2829.
It is not a lot. It's only $3, but it is a new frontier into which the airline industry is creating fees. After the European Union began making airlines pay penalties for their carbon emissions, Delta Airlines began charging $3 surcharges for one-way flights to Europe. Delta now has been joined quickly by United, Continental, and U.S. Airways. We are approaching the biggest economic report so far in 2012, full of implications for economic direction and for political races. The Labor Department to report on December employment and unemployment. Underscoring the often convoluted nature of job reports, economists expect employment and unemployment both to be higher as employers add enough new workers to keep pace with population growth and as many who are out of work begin looking for jobs again. Ahead of that news, S&P futures are positive by 2 points, NASDAQ futures gaining 5, Dow futures now tacking on 19. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Lower costs. For business owners and managers, those two words represent a big help. Want to hear two words that can get you there? Sam's Club, where you'll always find terrific values for your business. See for yourself with a free cost comparison the morning of January 10th or 11th. No gimmicks. Just bring your recent business invoices from another supplier. It's that easy. And the results will leave you saying three words. Sign me up. See Club for details. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
We thought a giant gorilla was the perfect mascot for the big deals at OfficeMax. But the gorilla marketing sent us is the size of a hamster and is too scared to come down from our ink display. Well, he is about the size of the $10 OfficeMax gift card you get just for buying $50 or more of any national brand ink. A free gift card is a big deal. Our gorilla... not so much. Find all the big deals now at OfficeMax. Offer ends Saturday. Excludes HP and Epson Inc.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. Shift with Tony Tripiano. It's about freaking time.
Good morning, everybody. Hour three of this Friday, January 6th, 2012 program. Pleasure to be with you. I'm very excited because we have Joe DeSano in studio. Always like having guests in studio. We're going to get to him in just a moment. Want to remind you, if you'd like to join us at any time throughout the program, 888-552-3595. Again, we're asking you this morning to grade the governor. The Free Press graded the governor this morning. If you go to the First Shift page on Facebook, you'll see our poll question there. A, B, C, D, E, or incomplete. As of now, the majority of people giving the governor a D or an E. Again, doing a little bit different than the Free Press. They kind of broke it down. I'm just asking for an overall grade. And then what can we expect in 2012? Well, we'll see. There's a lot going on, by the way, so we're going to get into all that. But let's go ahead and give us our intro, and we'll get going.
With his razor-sharp precision, First Shift welcomes back Michigan's most informed political insider.
Let's go back in the good old Wayback Machine to the 2010 campaign and marvel at how adept the governor was at being elusive on issues. He was allowed to portray himself as a moderate, as a genial, nice guy, nerd.
Partner in Main Street Strategies,
Mr. Joe DeSano.
And he does join us this morning, our first visit of 2012. In studio. Joe, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I got a new intro. I didn't even know.
Yeah, well, we did a little homework while we were off. We had, of course, a week off and took advantage of that time to do some production stuff. And
well, it sounded great.
Now we're going to mix it up a little bit, keep it fresh as we work our way through the year. How was your holiday?
It was great, nice and quiet, and ready for the coming storm.
Well, there is a storm coming, that's for sure, and we're gonna get to some of that. We're gonna get to some of that this morning. I got asked: is your cousin still in the States, or have you
sent
him back?
No, he left. He left a couple days before Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice visit?
Yes, it was very nice. We're gonna be visiting him in April.
Oh, nice.
We're gonna pack up the 8-year-old and my wife and my parents, and we're gonna fly back to Italy. I haven't been there since '96, so.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a good visit.
Okay, now where do we begin? Because there is really just so much going on. I think we should probably start by taking a look back before we take a look in the present and moving forward. And I also want to ask you a little bit about the presidential contest. We had the Iowa caucus this week. I'm sure you've got an opinion on that. Rick Santorum may be a bit of a surprise. I don't know how long he's going to hang around, but we'll get to that. So let's take a quick look back at certainly, we'll go back to the, just the new intro we just put together for you. And, you know, the governor had kind of painted himself as a moderate. We now know that he's not.
No, he's a run-of-the-mill right-wing conservative. And the curtain's been pulled back, and we've seen him for what he is. I mean, the Detroit Free Press editorial this morning I thought was exceedingly well-written. What struck me was the line, and I'm paraphrasing here, where they chided him for not curbing the GOP's bent on social issues.
Right.
Especially in relation to kids, children, education. I think that will be the governor's undoing, his unwillingness to stand up to the worst impulses of the Republican majority in Lansing.
How much do you think what's happened in the last year as a direct result of term limits or the lack thereof?
I'm not sure term limits has all that much to do with it. I think you've got a situation where the legislature is no more right wing than it would be if they were career Republican politicians. I think where it impacts is the fact that some of these folks are just such rank amateurs that they don't see the big picture. They're very myopic in their perspective and outlook on life.
Well, you know, it's interesting because as I, from where I sit, it's made it, and I guess it's fairly easy for me to do my job. Lots to criticize on a daily basis, but this just isn't about me doing my job, because what happens in the legislature affects everyday working people or non-working people, as the case may be. And they all ran on this idea in 2010 that they were going to create jobs. They would be job creators, and they've done the exact opposite of that. They've cost the state jobs. And so as we, and you, of course, I think are better positioned to answer this than most people, as we look at the priorities for 2012, which we're going to get into in just a moment here, what is the window of time that we can expect things to happen before they all go into campaign mode? Because in the House, you know, they've all got to run.
You've got 110 members that will be selected this year. I think you've got roughly a 90-day window. I think that 90-day terminates at the Easter break, and so you're going to see an attempt at a flurry of activity to get their legislative jobs done. Now, that being said, they collect money for the whole year, but that's a whole other story.
Hmm.
But the real work will all probably be done by the Easter recess. And we can expect more radical right wing legislation.
Okay. No. With that said, we're gonna get into to some of that. There was a great article. I believe this was in Mirrors. The 11 groups run over by the GOP agenda in 2011. I'm just gonna kind of go over them briefly. Organized labor. Let's talk about organized labor for a moment. We saw a new director, new head of the Michigan AFL-CIO.
Carla Swift. A force of nature.
She's doing a great job.
Yeah.
But she replaced a long-term, very serious guy in Mark Gaffney, and there are some that said that he was shown the door partially because labor didn't bring enough people to the table in 2010 to defeat the Republicans. Whether that's true or not, we can let the other people decide that, but that certainly was the biggest change in organized labor this year, is a new director of the AFL, as president of the Michigan AFL. And again, I've got Carla on the show many times. I've met her in person. She really is a force of nature. But what does labor have to do in 2012 that they didn't do in 2010? What is their job this year?
Well, their job is to motivate and turn out their members. I would go back, frankly, to the 2008 playbook. They were extremely engaged in turning out their voters, and really, the governor does a heck of a job for us on this subject. Because if you look at the agenda, he's put organized labor directly in the line of fire, and you're going to see a movement on right to work legislation that I think, you know, will make organized labor focus like a laser on turning out voters and building a real House majority for Democrats to stop this legislation dead in its tracks.
We need to flip 20 seats in order for the legislature to turn blue again in Michigan. Is that possible?
Oh, it's absolutely possible. In fact, I think here in Michigan, I'm gonna put on my prognosticator's cap, my Nostradamus hat, and say that I think that Obama here in Michigan will have a landslide. And I think that will extend coattails down to the lower ballot races, including the House. So I think you're looking at a third wave election in a row.
Really?
I do.
Any particular reason you want to give us?
Well, I think any of the Republican possible nominees for president has incredibly bad vulnerabilities. And I think the front runner, who is Romney, and I think he'll ultimately be the nominee, has a particular vulnerability here in the state of Michigan, where he essentially told us all to drop dead. And if that wasn't bad enough, being told to drop dead was actually the wrong policy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the, you know, Chrysler adding a third shift at the Jefferson plant. I mean, if people like Mitt Romney would have had their way, that wouldn't be happening right now. You wouldn't see some of the suppliers around our auto plants who, depend on the auto industry. Those jobs wouldn't exist. I mean, you would have had this economy would have turned even sharper downturn into really a depression. And I think that is a very easy and coherent argument to make to voters. And, Mitt Romney has also glaring vulnerabilities. He really doesn't stand for anything. He'll say and do anything. And whatever you think about the president, he is a man of courage and the ability to take a stand and fight. Look, passing health care was not a popular thing to do. There's much more low-hanging fruit out there for him to go after. Maybe he should have, but he didn't. He took the hard decisions. And that's something that Mitt Romney has never done. I think voters actually, at the end of the day, respect the tough decisions that he had to make.
Yeah, I do believe that there is some validity to what you said there. And ultimately, I had this conversation with a listener earlier in the week, and we talked about the Affordable Care Act and how important it was, and that it did cost the president in some regard because it left some other glaringly important things to the side, Joe. But he only had really a 90-day window to get something important done, mm-hmm. and he did get something important done, and we can't neglect that. And there are so many studies coming out right now that are showing us how important the Affordable Health Care Act has been, especially to the younger demographic. We're insuring more people than we ever have in the history of this country, and it's actually saving us money in the long term. Quick break here. Joe DeSano in studio with us. He'll be with us for the entire hour. Feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. Much more to get to when First Shift continues. Stay with us, please.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Still have that accident out there on 75 southbound after 7 mile. Traffic is backed up to around 9 mile. Taking a look at that accident there on the right shoulder. Really? That's the only problem we've got out there right now. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Well, the forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low right around the freezing mark. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Right now, it's fair and 38 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Now at the Winter Storage Event, the Home Depot has 56-quart Sterilite storage totes for a new lower price of just $5.88 each. These clear totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. So that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag, or the tote. Make room for savings right now with 56-quart storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Michigan needs progressive public policy, not legislation that continues to cripple our communities. Hi, I'm Brandon Jessup, Chairman and CEO of Michigan Forward. Michigan Forward is a nonprofit organization leading the charge to repeal Public Act 4. We need your support in 2012 as we continue to fight for democracy and create policy initiatives that move our state ahead. Donate today at MichiganForward.org or call 313-965-2722.
You're not supposed to be a tax expert. That's my job.
Lisa Skelly, tax expert at TurboTax.
I have a master's degree in taxation. I know the tax laws. And my goal is for TurboTax to get you the best result on your taxes. If you're a teacher, a farmer, you name it, you can trust TurboTax to get you every deduction, credit, and penny you deserve. We even guarantee all calculations are accurate, so you can feel confident your taxes are done right.
File today at TurboTax.com. Accurate calculations guarantee details at TurboTax.com.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you, Brandon.
State Representative Harvey Santana.
You're a rock star, Virg Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great to be on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. And a lot to talk about. Joe, we're going to focus on a couple more constituencies, and then we'll move on. We just have a lot to do. Unfortunately, we've got you for the whole hour today. You know, certainly one of the things that we, you know, we talked about organized labor. Another group we should take a look at are something that we call the poor, and the poor has expanded greatly in Michigan, even since this in the last year, since the governor has taken over. And this legislature has taken over, and this idea that we can mandate change, whether it's the welfare, and of course one of the issues that's going to come up is drug testing for welfare recipients very quickly, whether it's unemployment subtracting 6 weeks from their unemployment eligibility, and other things. This idea that the poor are just they're not working hard enough at finding work, you know, seems to be offensive to most of us, but not Republicans. This also may be a constituency that doesn't vote, so maybe they don't care about
well,
it.
They do bear some responsibility for this. You know, the fact that they're not organized and not voting, I think, is a real problem. And I think that's something that we as Democrats need to at least attempt to fix. But no, they've bared the brunt of many of the governor's decisions. I mean, they've had their taxes raised, while businesses have had their taxes cut. I mean, to me, that's quite simple. But you and I both know people in our personal lives who, you know, want to work. If this were a question of people not wanting to work and refusing to work,
right,
and not taking jobs that are offered, well, that'd be a different thing. But the fact of the matter is, they're just isn't the work out there. I mean, I tweeted last week during the break that, oh my God, I saw a help wanted sign. I mean, the economy's turning around, but you have to help people during the downtimes. That's what we're here for. That's what we're supposed to do. And slashing the unemployment benefits, it was a shameful thing.
No, it was a shameful thing. And again, we hope and we hope that by virtue of what we do here on a daily basis, that those that are disadvantaged, I don't know that they're all necessarily poor, but I do think that they're disadvantaged, find their way to a ballot box this year, and that they right some wrongs, because ultimately the Republicans have shown that they have absolutely no regard for these folks, and they really don't. I mean, they've been very cruel to these to this constituency.
They've been very cruel, and also they play with wedge issues to pry those voters away from the Democratic Party. They play games with, you know, national security issues and race issues, and they play the race card quite well among the working white poor. And those are all political strategies they employ to pull those folks away, get them to vote against their own personal and financial self-interest. So we have to learn to fight that as well.
Well, certainly one of the constituencies that we should talk about is the LGBT community, who, again, has seen with this legislature, again, domestic partner benefits taken away, and there's going to be an ongoing legal battle with this now. Again, it just it proves the point that the Republican Party is very much right wing. They do not care about all of us. They do not represent all of us, and this is one of those issues where they make that clear.
Well, and this is actually a great betrayal by the governor. I mean, he made a very big effort during the general election and as well as the primary to reach a hand out to the LGBT community. And many of those folks read the tea leaves, figured out that Bonero, Mayor of Lansing, Bonero, didn't have a chance in hell of getting elected, and they took the governor's outstretched hand and said, okay, we're going to help you. And, you know, that hand was accepted. The governor took the help. The governor pledged to help those folks, and then turned around, first chance he got, spit in their face.
Yeah, well, and then just two more quick ones, and then we'll move on to some other issues. Certainly the elderly have reasons to dislike this governor, and again, he's taken money out of their mouths. He's taken money that they were relying on to live, and gave it to corporations. Certainly, and these are people that do vote. We don't need to worry about these people voting. They do vote, Joe DeSantis.
No, they absolutely vote. And I would just point to the recent recall of Paul Scott up in Flint. I mean, one of the most potent arguments was the fact that it was a tax shift from from senior citizens on the senior citizens from businesses. You know, at $1.9 billion was shifted out of senior citizens' pockets and given to businesses. And that resonated with voters, and I have every reason to believe that it's going to resonate with voters headed into the fall of 2012 to the positive benefit of Democrats across the state.
I read this, and it's not surprising, but it is stunning when you read it in black and white. Of the 300 bills signed into law in 2011, Democrats sponsored 12.
Well, that's not surprising. I mean, if it were... I mean, it's politics. They're not going to give Democrats any record to run on. They want to minimize Democrats, ignore Democrats, except for when they need Democrats' votes at the end of a session to get something ugly passed. That being said, I can't say that if the Democrats ran all three portions of the state government that we'd be extending our hand to to the right wing either. So some of that's just politics. That's how the game is played, and not necessarily a symptom of just just the way the Republicans play ball. Hopefully, we would do the same thing to them. To the winners goes the spoils.
Yeah, but at the same time, they, you know, and I'll take this as the Republicans did something that to me is a slap in the face to democracy, and that is that they again, I'll give them credit for being clever and being smart. They discovered that if people wanted to challenge the decisions they made, they weren't allowed to do that if they placed an appropriation in that legislation.
Absolutely.
And, again, very clever on their part to discover that. Of course, I had no idea, maybe you did, I had no idea that that was something that was that was part of the process. But it basically is telling the rest of us that they don't care what we think.
Right.
And there's something about that bourgeois attitude of theirs that really grates at me, that angers me. And, you know, politics often frustrates me, but rarely does it anger me. That angers me, Joe.
Well, it should. I mean, it is a very clever legislative tactic, and I would look for them to include the little appropriation trick into any right-to-work legislation that they try to pass through the House and Senate. Now the question is the governor going to sign it? I would say at the end of the day, yeah. So you're looking at a situation where they pass right-to-work legislation that can't be appealed by the voters. It can't be placed overturned via a referendum. I think you're going to see this strategy and this tactic played several times in the coming 90 days.
Okay. More to get to, but we do need to take a break here. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. A lot of stuff to get to. Folks, stay where you're at. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Still looking into an accident, 75 southbound after 7 Mile. It's on the right shoulder. Traffic is backed up to just 8 Mile now. Really, that's the only thing going on. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, partly sunny, a high right around 50 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low at 32. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 40. Right now, it's fair and 38 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up after this.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310WDTW.
Congress, how small-minded is it? How tangled up in a right-wing ideological knot is it? How subservient to corporate lobbyists is it? The answer to these three questions are pizza, tomato paste, and spuds. At a time when doctors and nutritionists are sounding a national alarm about a diabetes epidemic caused by gross obesity, including in children, the Congress of the United States of America, in all of its majesty, has killed an effort by the Agriculture Department to make school lunches healthier. Why? Three reasons. One, Congress is incapable of meeting America's big needs, so it's rationalizing its existence by messing with the small stuff. Two, Congress's right-wing ideologues are so batty that they even oppose federal rules to improve our children's health. Three, and most significant, the French fry lobby, tomato paste lobby, and frozen pizza lobby put big bucks into congressional campaigns, and they pulled the strings of our lawmakers. So the financial interests of corporate powers, including Coca-Cola, ConAgra, and Del Monte, have overridden the interests of America's school kids. Yet, members of Congress still say they can't figure out why their public approval rating has crashed to an all-time low of 9%. Nine! Good grief! As Senator Michael Bennett recently pointed out to his colleagues, oil giant BP, at the height of its disastrous contamination of our Gulf, held on to a 16% approval rating. The IRS gets a 40% rating on its job performance. And even the idea of America becoming communist draws 11% support. This is Jim Hightower saying, the real question is, who makes up the 9% that approve of this Congress? I'm guessing they're relatives, staffers, and the two Koch brothers. Plus, of course, corporate lobbyists. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. We've got some phone traffic we're going to get to in just a moment. To Joe DeSana with Main Street Strategies in studio with us, which... Joe, I'm always thrilled, only the second time, though, but I love having you in studio, so thanks for making the time. I know you got a meeting later on this morning, but thanks for making the time to come in to the studio. Let us go to the phones. If you'd like to join us, folks, feel free to do that, 888-552-3595. I'll welcome Jeff in Utica to First Shift. Jeff, Happy New Year to you. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, you guys. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
I want to point out here, and I kind of saw this 10 years ago. It was probably been 10 years since they, like, for example, closed down the unemployment offices. All our filings are done online or on the telephone, so we're kind of stuck at home. So there's a big failure. Oh, I shouldn't say failure. Says we don't have the ability to gather. They don't want us angry people gathered in one place.
You know, that's something I had never considered. Jeff, I think you've enlightened us here. That's a damn good point.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of barking about this for years. But the thing is, you look at a lot of things that social issues that they bark against is they eliminate any ability for us to gather together and to unite in any way. You know, and the last bastions are the unions and the trial lawyers, actually.
Well, and they've done a hell of a job of marginalizing the trial lawyers here in the state, and frankly, the next people in the target list are organized labor. So. Well, you make a great point. I have to admit, that never occurred to me. So, thank you.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for the call. I do appreciate that. You know, he does bring up, you'll remember the days of the old unemployment office, Joe. Where,
I went with my parents in the early 80s.
Right, and, that was an opportunity, especially people would stand outside the unemployment office either before they opened or, just generally they would be out there, and he, you know, and he makes a great point. We don't do that anymore. There isn't an unemployment office anymore. Very, very interesting. 888-552-3595. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Kelly in Redford. Kelly, again, thanks for punching in, and Happy New Year's to you.
First of all, I'd like to say, hey, Joe, how you doing?
Hey, I know this guy. He's a friend of mine.
You know, it occurs to me that if you don't like the game, you change the rules. So if they can put in an appropriation to stop us, then we, you know, if we've got the votes to do an override or a referendum, then we probably can get the votes to change the state constitution.
Well, that's a good point. But the problem is we don't have the votes, and that's why we have to get a Democratic legislature and a Democratic governor to maybe make those rules more amenable and friendly to frankly, working people.
Well, you know, if you just, you know, and I don't know if we really want to get rid of the, because, you know, someday we'll be in charge, but if they go after organized labor, then we just change the state constitution to say, oh no, you can't either.
Well, and I think you're going to see some of that happen here. I keep on hearing rumors of a ballot initiative to enshrine some of those organized labor organizing rights in the state constitution. I think some decisions are going to be made here in the next few weeks if that's going to be an issue or not. And I'm very hopeful that we go down that route and put this to the people.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Joe, I wanted to say hello and good luck.
All right, Kelly, thank you so much for your call. Do appreciate that. You know, one of the questions that has come up from time to time, Joe, on the show is, let's say that we are able to turn the House. You know, can we undo a lot of what's been done by this legislature? Or is it difficult to do that once you turn these laws? Is it really hard to, you know, and what we need, what we also need a majority in the Senate to do that?
Oh, absolutely, you need a majority in the Senate, and then you also need a governor who's allied with working folks instead of the titans of big business. And so to answer your question really quickly, if we were to magically wake up tomorrow with a Democratic House of Representatives, anyone who thinks that's going to change things overnight is either delusional or living in fantasy land.
Well, and again, the perfect storm of ending up with a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate, a Democratic governor, chances aren't excellent that we're going to have that situation. Because I think one of the things that we've learned, at least I hope that we've learned in this last year, is we don't want one party to control all of government.
Oh, I do.
Well, I do too. I mean, I do too, but I think the one that may be the lesson that we learned.
I want Democrats to control all three branches of government and then use that power to crush and destroy the Republican Party. Well, I feel like that's just the way I am.
From your mouth.
Crush, kill, destroy. That's my mantra.
From your mouth. All right, we're just going to move on. Again, there's just so much that we could focus on, but let's talk a little bit about what's happening. First of all, people probably don't know what the Club for Growth is, but they're after a Republican here in the state of Michigan. And who are they, and who is this Republican?
Well, Club for Growth is a group of free market billionaires and millionaires based out of Washington, D.C., that goes after, that has made the tactical decision that they're going to weed out any person in the Republican Party they feel is a moderate or has the ability to work with Democrats. And what they've done is, in a series of races across the country in the past decade, have gone after Republicans who they feel aren't conservative enough, and they go after them in primaries. And what they've done is they've decided that Fred Upton is too liberal. Fred Upton is obviously a congressperson from Kalamazoo, and it's beyond me how they can ever figure that he's a liberal, but they've decided that they're going to go after him with a radio ad, a television ad, going after him for being a liberal, and they're basically on a witch hunt to get any person who has an open mind out of the party. So they're going after Fred Upton for being too liberal, which boggles my mind.
Yeah, for his liberal record, and when you see it and you see it in print, as I have it in front of me, you just you do a double take every time I've read it. I've had to do a double take.
Yeah.
So I just find that very interesting.
And they've had success here in Michigan before. They defeated in a primary Joe Schwartz, the congressperson from the Jackson area, several years ago, and replaced him with Tim Walberg, who is probably the closest thing we have in Michigan to a Rick Santorum.
Yeah. Let's talk for a minute very quickly, because we're going to run out of time here. And I want to mention Tuesday, of course, was the Iowa caucus, and although we're getting news and that Santorum may have actually won. Jeff is telling me.
Yeah, I heard some of those stories on the way in that there were some vote discrepancies.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I would give some credence to that, because I'll tell you, some of those precincts, I mean, I don't know how, you certainly didn't stay up that late.
No, I did not.
But right about the time you were waking up, that's when the results came in. And for those people who are sitting at home watching the results, those last 1% or 2% precincts hung out there for a lot longer than they ever should have. And, you know, my conspiracy theory hat comes on at that point, and I have to wonder if there was some shenanigans, and it seems like there very well might be. And it's coming also, some of these charges are coming from the Ron Paul camp, who have absolutely nothing to gain from this.
Right, and they've been really interesting. But we'll come back to Ron Paul in a minute. All that aside, Rick Santorum is the only one that appeals to the evangelicals. You know, Mitt Romney does have a Mormon problem amongst conservatives, especially religious conservatives. They don't understand Mormonism. They never will. They see it as a cult. It's nothing that they're going to embrace, which is why we find him where we find him in all of the polls. He's never going to find favor amongst a lot of conservatives just because he's a Mormon. So Rick Santorum becomes the only one that evangelicals can really support.
He's the last man standing.
Right, he is the last man standing. Doesn't matter moving forward. I mean, Rick Santorum's not going to be the guy, is he?
No, it's going to be Romney. The question is, can Santorum coalesce enough money to bloody Romney and maybe delay the nomination and extend the process of nominating Romney until May or June? Because what you don't want, Democrats don't want, is this thing ramping up in March and then allowing them to focus all their energies on defeating the president. That's what we don't want. We want this process long, expensive, and bloody.
Okay, which brings me to Newt Gingrich. I still believe that he has enough cachet to stay in this thing for a while. I think he can raise money to stay in this thing a while, depending how well he does in New Hampshire. And I know that he's beating the living bejesus out of Romney now on radio and television. And I'm sure he's out there begging people for every dime he can beg for to do more, because basically Mitt Romney cost Newt Gingrich Iowa. He did.
I will disagree with you there. I think Newt Gingrich cost Newt Gingrich in Iowa. When Newt decided that he was not going to go after Romney's throat and stand down, that allowed Romney and Romney's super PAC to savage Gingrich for weeks.
I'll give you that.
I blame Gingrich for allowing this to happen.
I'll go with that. I can live with that. I think that there's some truth. You're right. Newt Gingrich should have, and he's smart enough, and he's been in this game long enough to know, and I'm sure he does know that he made a mistake strategically.
Sure.
Made a mistake. Had he had Main Street strategies, that would have never happened.
Well, the fact of the matter is, we would never work with him.
I understand that. But I'm saying you would have made sure that would have never happened. And the bottom line is, it did happen. My question before we get to the break, can Newt Gingrich still be relevant moving forward?
He can be relevant. I think he has to come to terms with his role. His campaign strategy here in relations to Romney can best be described as a murder-suicide pact.
Ooh.
He's going to do everything he can to take down Romney.
Now, that's okay. It works.
Like I said, we want this primary process to be long, costly, and bloody.
All right. Then the break will not be that long, will not be that costly, and I will promise will not be bloody at all. But we do have to take it, and so off we go. This is First Shift. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. So what is former Senator, State Senator Mike Bishop doing? It'll be interesting. We'll get back to you.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
We're going to go to the phones and welcome our first caller of the year 2012. Jeff in Milford joins us. Jeff, welcome to First Shift.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first one? What a delight and privilege. This is going to be a good day. I can see it right now. It's like I was telling Junior there. As soon as this show goes up on the podcast, I'm downloading it. I'm burning it to CDs and I'm mailing it out to friends of mine. So.
You're the man.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Trupiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very goodly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. This is Tony Trupiano. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. Before we get to the phones, I want to mention former State Senator Mike Bishop announced this week that he is going to be running for another office. Again, this goes back to my whole term limit thing. And what the hell is he doing and why is he doing it, Joe?
One word, job.
He just needs a job?
Job, you know, it's there. I think his chances of being successful are rather limited.
We should mention he's running for Oakland County Prosecutor.
He'd be taking on incumbent Jessica Cooper, who's shown an uncanny ability to maintain popularity with the voters. And so our friend Mike Bishop, who oddly, if you don't know him and have not seen him in person or on television, has the complexion of an Oompa Loompa. he does like his bronzer and fake tans. So he's definitely of the John Boehner school of Republican politics. But he's going to... His race is based on the assumption that Mitt Romney will run the score up in Oakland County and will sweep him in the office as well. And the thing is, if this were 10 years ago, and the demographic makeup of Oakland County was what it was, that's a pretty smart strategy. It's a likelihood, in fact. But the fact of the matter is, Oakland County is rapidly changing.
Yeah, it is rapidly changing.
It's not the Republican bastion it once was, nor will it ever be again. That's one thing Democrats have in their favor is demographics. And as very smart people have said in the past, demographics is destiny. And this county will never be the Republican bastion it once was. So I think the premise of Mike Bishop's job is simply the fact that, you know, he doesn't like to practice law. He likes to be in the limelight, and he likes to, clearly likes to be in the limelight because it gives his skin that beautiful, beautiful tone that he has. And, you know, so he'll try to slam and slur Jessica Cooper into retirement, and I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to work.
She's a formidable foe. I mean, she understands. I mean, she's got the pedigree to do this. She is a tough cookie. She understands politics. She's been around a long time. She's not taking this. She will not be taking this lightly, and she's ready for a fight.
Oh, yeah, she's ready for a fight. And I think, frankly, she relishes the fight. I don't want to be dismissive of her. I'm trying to be very clear in my language. I don't want to use the word spunky. She's got grit to her that I think Bishop is overlooking. And I think your situation is going to be that he's going to, you know, throw the book at her. But I think he doesn't really take into account his record. And he's got a very interesting record as Senate Majority Leader for 4 years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think both of them have records. I think it's going to be actually, at the end of the day, a very good year for Democrats. And I think in 365 days, at the dawn of 2013, I think Mike Bishop's going to look at this decision of his and regret it.
Yep. Okay. Let's go to the phones, and we'll welcome Bob and Celine, too, for Shift. Happy New Year to you, Bob, and welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
And Happy New Year. Just wanted to expand on something Joe said earlier, and he's totally right. You know, what would happen if we...
Ooh, stop the call right there. I like to hear that.
You were talking about, you know, if the Democrats could get the House back, things wouldn't change overnight. And that's really, really true. But I think listeners should realize that it's well worth doing, because things might not change overnight, but we'd sure be able to slow the train down and sure be able to have more influence. And I get so tired of our current governor getting all of the passes he does on issues when he'll say, well, it's not on my agenda, or I don't have any comment right now, I'll leave that to the legislature. It goes on and on, and part of that is because they have control of everything. And it's interesting that you're talking about Mike Bishop, because that's a perfect example. Our world would have been a lot different in the last term with our previous governor if we hadn't had a Republican-controlled Senate. And the things that she...
Or if we would have had a different Republican in control of the Senate.
Well, that's true,
too. I mean, you would never find a Republican less partisan and less mean-spirited than Mike Bishop. I mean, he made a decision very early on that he was never going to do business with Jennifer Granholm.
Right.
And I'm not sure another Republican, say like a Ken Sikkema type, who has a record, or who had a record of working with Democrats, would have done so. But you make a great point, my friend from Saline, that things wouldn't change overnight, but we would be able to stop the trains. And you know what? At the end of the day, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that we wouldn't have, you know, if the emergency manager law may not have passed, if we had had that. It's just well worth doing in 2012.
I would agree with you. Yes, it is well worth doing. And Bob, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I like the way you put that. It's well worth doing. Yes, it is. It is well worth doing in 2012. Let me throw this out there. You're a strategist, and you're the workload that you do is with candidates. If there's somebody out there that's considering running for office, can you give me a couple bullet points on, you know, what they need to consider before making that decision? Because we do need good candidates this go around.
Absolutely, we need some good candidates, and there's folks out there who are teetering making the decision you just spoke of. One, I would be very, very aware that this is not what you think it is. If you're getting into running for public office because you think it's glamorous or fun. Let me take that back. It is fun. But if you're thinking it's glamorous and you're, you know, it's show business like, don't do it. It's tough work. It takes a toll on you personally. It takes a toll on your family. You get people walking up to you in the grocery store calling you an SOB. You got to be prepared for that. Number two, you've got to be prepared for people dredging up any mistakes you've made in the past. If, you know, there's liens on your property, you know, you got pinched for a DUI at some point, that's probably going to come up, if not in paid media, but definitely in the rumor mill. So you got to be prepared for the personal stuff. Secondly, I would do a real strong assessment of how much money you can raise. And third, do I have the time to actually invest in the campaign? And I'm not talking going to events. In many of the lower ballot races, the person who works the hardest is going to win. That person needs to be able to go door to door in these lower ballot races and meet voters face to face.
Yeah. We're out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. Happy New Year to you. We'll look forward to having you on again next Friday. Folks, that will do it for us today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you to a wonderful audience. To our Detroit Lions, may they win. Joe's, by the way, got his Detroit Lions shirt on today. I am Tony Trupiano. Again, off air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We have an accident today northbound at 14 miles, blocking the right shoulder. And 696 westbound at Woodward, we have a traffic stop there blocking the right lane of the exit ramp. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, partly sunny, a high near 50. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around freezing. And then Saturday, mostly sunny, a high near 40 degrees. Right now, it's fair and 38 degrees at Detroit City Airport.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
I can't afford.